This podcast is a member of the Place to Be Nation family. Visit us at placetobenation.com, the only place to be in your pop culture world. You're listening to The Kevin Kelly Show, exclusively here on placetobenation.com, the only place to be in your pop culture world. And now here's your host, the voice of Ring of Honor, Mr. Kevin Kelly. When you're on
a holiday, what's up, everybody? It's time for another edition, another episode of The Kevin Kelly Show right here on the Place to Be Nation. I'm your host, Kevin Kelly. It's episode 9, and that means it's a good lucky number. Let's just say it like that. It's 3. 3 is the magic number. It's 3 times 3. So anyway, our guest this week is awesome, and kudos to my producer, JR, for landing him. Diamond Dallas Page is going to be our guest. We're going to talk about his wrestling career. I'm going to ask him some questions about Jake Roberts and Scott Hall. I want to know kind of what that was like from his perspective. I understand what it was like from theirs. But what was DDP thinking when he was rehabilitating his two friends who were in all sorts of straits? Was it hard for him? These are the questions that I'm going to ask. I want to find out his point of view, his perspective on Jake and Scott Hall. And I know we'll talk about DDP yoga as well and all the great work that he's doing. And we'll tell you how you can order your own copy of DDP yoga right here at the end of the interview. You know, when this episode, when the Kevin Kelly Show began, of course, as I've said each time, finish strong is one of our mottos. How we're going to conclude a project that we're doing or the rest of our lives in a strong fashion. So finish strong is a mantra. And it seems like, you know, it's helped me in my life before I did this show, and it's helped others. One of the reasons why I came up with the idea of this, one of the inspirations, I would say, for this is Diamond Dallas Page. Because when DDP broke his neck in the ring, he was wrestling Bob Holly, and then ruptured L4, L5. You might as well call it a broken neck, because really that's what it was. But for all intents and purposes, his career was over. And he had to have fusion surgery, and he was going to be out for, you know, a long period of time. But what wound up happening was the second chapter of his career, finishing strong, if you will. And this is a guy that's had many chapters to his life and his careers, because it didn't, as you know, it didn't start off as a, 16, 17-year-old kid who worked his way up the ranks. No, he got into it at 35 and was a manager. So don't say it can never happen. For every Daniel Bryan now, there was a DDP before him. And there are a lot of overnight sensations, if you will, that took a long time to get there. So when Finish Strong came to me, one of the thoughts was, man, this is right up Dallas's alley, because, you know, Paige, and the reason why it was inspirational to me, because when he was on the road to recovery and he started doing the yoga, and we had an idea to do a show about him on Confidential, wanted to talk to him about everything. So I went down and I interviewed him, and it was one of those things. We start the interview. Everything is going well. We get done with the bulk of the Q&A, and then we're going to break down and we're going to move to another section of the house, and we're going to ask him some more questions. And then eventually we're going to get to watching him do a yoga session. Well, we complete the questions and the answers. Everything's great. And they go back and they start listening to it back, and they're like, there was an audio problem, Kevin. We're going to need to redo that. Oh, man, we just sat down for like 2 hours, and now we got to go back and redo 2 hours of interviews. And as great a guy and as patient a guy as he was always whenever I worked with him, man, DDP shone through that day, because he was like, no problem. Whatever you need. And we redid all the questions. He redid a lot of the answers almost the same, slightly different, but almost the same. And it was just I couldn't have been more thankful. I thought the piece turned out really well. And that was where really this DDP yoga kind of all got started. All got started because of that ruptured L4, L5 in his neck when many said that his career was over. So it's never over. It never really is. And it's not over for you either. No matter what you want to do, no matter how you want to conclude your life, no matter what chapter you want to go into next, what career you want to go into next. DDP worked in bars. He was like a club promoter and a bouncer, and he did all that on the Jersey Shore in the 80s. Then he wanted to get into wrestling, and he did. And he was a manager and a commentator. I remember seeing him in Florida, you know, worked in the Tampa office. And then he went up, worked for Vern Gagne, and he managed Bad Company, Tanaka and Paul Diamond. Great team. Learned. And eventually got into WCW, managing, then wrestling. And then how did he become the world champion? Because he worked hard. Because he didn't sit back and wait. He didn't wait for somebody to tell him what to do. A lot of times people in their lives will sit back and they'll wait for instructions. I'm going to sit here because I know I can't screw up if I just wait for instructions. Well, the opportunity may already have been lost. I just started a new job this week, actually a week ago. And the previous new job I had gotten wasn't what I had thought it would be. But luckily, opportunity came and found me. And some folks seeked me out, and I have a new position with a new company, and I'm very excited. And a lot of it now, because this is it's kind of an overseeing, it's not managerial. I'm not managing people, but I'm managing product, and I'm managing, relationships between the vendor and, the sales reps, et cetera, internal and external. Well, what do you do? Well, there really isn't like a protocol. Hey, you start turning the wrench. And you turn it 90 degrees, then you turn it 90 more degrees. No, it's not one of those types of jobs. It's seek the information out and carve your own path. So I've started seeking the information out. And it's amazing what you could do and the way you impress people when you start to seek your own path. I don't worry about rubbing people the wrong way. I'm very nice and I'm very acquiescent to them. And I say, hey, if there's something I can help with, please let me know. But in the meantime, here's what I've gone ahead and I've done. People really appreciate that. They really do. And I'm not trying to step on anybody's toes. I'm not trying to take anybody's job because the job is already mine. But I'm trying to make it my own, and I'm trying to show others that I can be of assistance to them. And I think it's going to benefit me well. So we'll talk to DDP in a little while, and we'll talk about how he is kind of one of the inspirations behind Finish Strong. And I have a lot of respect for him, and I'm looking forward to talking to him. And also, a lot of folks, he has a lot of people that work with him. Because again, he's being pulled in a lot of different directions as he's growing this brand and he's doing a lot of different things. The team behind him has been great. We've reached out to a lot of, folks that I used to work with in WWE, and it's amazing how, you know, just the line gets quiet. But, Diamond Dallas Page was a guy who, you know, through he and his team, they've worked hard, and we had to reschedule and we had to do all kinds of things. Worked out great. And just bent over backwards to make this appearance a go. So kudos to DDP's team, and thank you all very much for making this interview happen. And also, as I mentioned, thanks to JR for also making this happen. So DDP will join us in just a little while. We'll get some good time with Dallas, and we'll talk about all things wrestling and yoga and whatnot later on. Plus, you know, we've got we're in the midway point now of the week between Global Wars and War of the Worlds from Ring of Honor. I had an absolute blast Saturday night ringside in Toronto calling the action with Steve Corino. If you haven't had a chance, if you didn't see it live, the stream worked perfectly. So thank you to the folks in Ring of Honor, and thank you to Ustream, and thank you to everybody that made that a go. It was great to see Dan Bynum back. Live directing as we needed it. So Dan was there and he's fantastic. And the staff and the crew, amazing job. The wrestlers, fantastic talent. Unbelievable night and a lot of fun. I sat back and watched a lot of it. I really did. The crowd was incredible. So if you didn't see it live, you could see it through video on demand right now at ROHWrestling.com. And what you'll notice is that the fans in attendance really take on a life of their own. So hats off, Toronto. You guys were incredible. It was a very fun night. A lot of times, like I said, me and Steve, we just laid out. No reason to talk over the crowd. They're carrying the story right here. They're telling you what to think. Fantastic three-team tag between the Forever Hooligans, the Time Splitters, the returning Alex Shelley, and the returning Kushida. But Shelley got a tremendous ovation upon his return. Long time since he's been in Ring of Honor. And the Young Bucks, who just continue to turn it out every single night, man. They are just amazing. But from top to bottom, the card was incredible, from the opening match of ACH and Michael Bennett to the main event of Kevin Steen and Adam Cole for the Ring of Honor world title. It was just a great night, and it was great seeing Jim Ross there. So JR, excuse me, JR, who was in town to do, he had a one-man show the night before, which was, from all accounts, fantastic. Jim said it was well-attended. And all the reviews and reports I said was that I saw was, man, the show was great. It was just great getting a chance to sit down with JR and talk with him. And, I, he and I would say this. We didn't talk about it Saturday, but, you know, there was always tension kind of between us. And he just wasn't in a position in his career, because he had never had any time to sit there and make friends. And he and I were different ages and different places in our lives, and so it wasn't like we were just going to be the best of friends. But it was cool to just sit there and hang out with JR and talk with him like I never had before, because he didn't have any other pressure. He didn't have any other place to be. He didn't have the pressures of being the lead announcer on Raw. He didn't have the pressures of being the head of talent relations. So he was able to relax, and it was just nice to be able to sit there and talk with him. And we talked a lot about the wrestling business and where we are and where we're going and where we've been and what we should do and who we are and what we should be. He gave me some advice. I asked him some questions. He had some great advice, and it was really just fun to hang out with Jim Ross. The best part was Steve Corino, who of course can be heard here in a weekly podcast. And I haven't heard Steve's most recent podcast. I don't know if he covered the topics of Toronto, but there were some awkward moments between him and Jim Ross. There was 3 minutes of small talk, and then it ended, and that was it. So he did talk about it, as I'm getting a note here. So he did talk about it. It was just very interesting. I don't know why Steve was so... everybody walked up to JR like in reverence, you know what I mean? It was just nice. But I just think Steve is very sure of himself at this point. I'm really proud of him, because he's getting better and better each and every week. And we're having a lot of fun. So we'll have more fun on Saturday in New York as the week continues. And we head towards Saturday in War of the Worlds. So we know that the stream worked. So if it works Saturday in Toronto, we can pretty much be sure it's going to work again in New York. But a lot of folks are still going to wait and see how good the event is. And then you can watch it right afterward on video on demand. If you don't want to try it live, that's cool. But fans from all over the world will be able to see War of the Worlds, where it is Ring of Honor versus New Japan Pro Wrestling Saturday night, including the main event of, the Ring of Honor World title match between Adam Cole and Jushin Liger and a whole lot more. So it's going to be a fun night. It'll be fun. We'll talk more about that Ring of Honor show a little bit later on. But obviously, the reactions from that were very positive. The reactions from Toronto were very, very positive, and it's good. Another thing that we're gearing up for is the debut of, the return of Ring of Honor to pay-per-view and live pay-per-view Sunday, June 22nd from Nashville, Tennessee. Best in the world. So we're kind of, gearing up for that. And you got only so much satellite time. So you got to make sure you're off the air when you need to be off the air. So everybody's got to be more mindful of their times. And so, again, very good effort on Saturday. It'll get better this Saturday. And I'm looking forward to it. I don't know where the hate comes from with Michael Bennett. I know his allegiance with Adam Cole and Matt Hardy notwithstanding, but I don't understand like the professional hatred. Maybe he's just doing his job so well. That's where the hatred comes from. People don't want to see him or didn't want to see him be the guy to wrestle Tanahashi. Well, guess what? He is. And I got a feeling it's going to be an incredible match. So we'll see what happens there. But Bennett, of course, a former guest here on the show, speared his fiance, Maria Kanellis, on the apron, and it was quite painful to watch. But that's apparently the sacrifice they're willing to make to beat Tanahashi this Saturday. And boy, can you imagine the crow that they're going to have to eat if they lose, or how much squawking they're going to do if they win. We'll see what happens Saturday in New York City. So we've got the interview coming up with DDP here in just a little while. It's going to be very interesting to hear what he has to say about. I want to ask him, too, about what professional wrestling is like in 2014 from his perspective now. Where are we and where are we going? It's a, you know, talking with Jim Ross, he really is convinced that the guys do too many great things. So I wonder what DDP thinks. And we'll get his thoughts and more about that. JR, are you there?
Yeah, I'm just thinking about how much I would love to spear Maria.
Well, again, it's a there would be quite a line for that.
Yes.
Long line stretching around the block. Did you get a chance to
stretching
watch?
Around, yes.
Did you get a chance to watch Global Wars yet? I know you're very busy.
I have not. I am super busy.
Yeah.
I put together a shed last weekend, Kevin, with the help of my buddy Roger and my dad and my future brother-in-law. Built a shed. I've now built, and I don't have very many skills, I've now built a fence and a shed in my life.
Building a shed, those things are a bitch to put together.
It was a bitch. I can't say we built the shed. We assembled the shed.
Yeah, but those things are, forget it.
Yeah.
It's rotten.
So that's okay. And I've grown grass. To me, those are like three big man card stamps I have. Oh, and last year we put down a patio. I'm doing well. Not bad for
putting down a patio is rotten too.
Yeah. I have some good friends that work cheap, so I'm lucky there.
You poured out the sand and then you had to get that. Did you rent that machine that packs it all in?
We did it by hand.
Oh, that's
and
the
we
worst.
We got the stone dust. We got the patio stones and
laid the pavers out and
laid them down.
Putting the pavers down is that's the easy part. Getting it level is the hard part.
It was. But we had some very talented folks, and as Dan McGinn was on the line can attest, my backyard. Not easy to get to. I only have one way in, and it's around the front of the house, up this hill. So we were wheeling that stuff up, and it was a workout that day.
Has anybody seen your backyard when they watched The Wire, or is it not that bad?
It's not that bad.
Okay.
I'm country, baby. I'm a country man.
You want to be country? You come out here by me.
Yeah, that's true. I'm Son, Rhode Island country.
This is Pennsylvania country. I got a big dairy farm right behind me.
Amish driving the
buggies all about. Them. Yeah, it's nice. It's really nice. If I had it to do over again, I might be Amish.
Well, you fit the physical profile.
I couldn't grow that much
hair. I'll say, yeah, could you grow a beard? Probably not, right?
Well, wait a minute. Some of them do kind of have that flesh-colored yarmulke they're rocking like I got now.
See, if you did that, though, we would have been robbed of you calling gunshots explosions, and that's one of the greatest moments of my life, so I don't think we could take that away.
I know, right? My wife took a picture of me cutting the grass yesterday because I'd love to.
Was it just in case something happened that she wanted an alibi that it wasn't?
No. It's a riding mower.
Oh, okay. Of course.
Nothing could happen. That, please. But, you know, so I'm off in the distance, and all I could see, like, is my bald head. And I'm like, oh, my gosh. This is brutal.
It must suck.
You'll be there someday, young man, maybe.
I don't know. I have very, very thick, lustrous hair. It comes from your mother's grandfather? Is that what it is?
Well, if that's the case,
I mean,
then,
mother's
yeah.
father, rather. Mother, your grandfather on your mother's side. Right?
My mother's father was a complete cue ball, so I got that to look forward to.
My mom's father had a thick head of hair until the day he passed away. So.
Yeah, receding hairline, nothing?
Nah, very slight. I mean, he even had some chemo and cancer stuff, and he didn't really lose his hair. So.
Jesus.
Yeah, tough guy. World
That's
War
awesome.
II vet, Kev. A whole other generation that you and I can only dream of.
Talk about finishing strong, man.
Yeah.
Those guys. My mom is 79 years old, so she grew up during all of that. Was just a little girl and has told stories about what it was like. I'm like, oh, my God, really?
It's absurd.
You didn't have heat and, you know, lived in New York City. No, we didn't have heat. What did you do? We had blankets. Oh, my God.
And you wonder why they were all angry and racist. My grandmother, Italian, 93, going to be 94 this year. still, she can't see, but she still cooks, like, amazing food. And now my daughter goes over with my dad. He watches her once a week and has lunch. And it's like this whole other generation getting to eat this food that, you know, I never would have pictured, you know, at her age and everything going on. I never would have pictured that my daughter would get to go over there and eat lunch once a week like I used to growing up. And it's just, it's amazing that, you know, those bloodlines in that generation that, and my grandfather lived to 94 and he was, you know, his mind was still so sharp and just crazy.
Now that's it, that would be your daughter's great grandmother?
Yes.
Wow.
Gigi.
That really is special.
Yeah, she loves when they come over. My grandmother gets such a kick out of it and they have a good time. So
that's cool, fantastic. Stuff. My mother, again, you say racist, not like, you know, but again,
just how she's they grew up.
Yeah, she's afraid of Japanese people. Because during World War II, all the propaganda, you know, again, the Japanese, and she to this day, I would imagine that to a certain extent, there's probably some people that, you know, some kids that might think, if they see a Muslim, they might associate it with, you know, nightmares related to 9/11 or something like that. But my mother went through World War II and to this day still gets nervous if Japanese people are in the room.
Well, yeah, my grandfather was in the Navy for World War II. So you can, get to know how how he felt about that race. But
yeah, and again, it's funny how generationally we change. Mm-hmm. But for all of the things that they lacked, and for all of the things that they withstood, they still had a much better work ethic than we have today. The fence and the patio and all those things would have been done in the same weekend.
Oh, yeah.
The shed, the fence, the patio, then we'll break for lunch, and then we'll come back and we'll dig a trench and we'll build a house.
And then work in the garden.
And then go work in the garden. Yeah. And then I'm going to work overnight at the factory, at the steel mill. And I'm not being facetious when saying this. That's the type of work ethic. My buddy Jay Diesel in Ring of Honor, who's the head of security, and he's just getting started with his active in-ring career. You'll see him make his television debut in a few weeks. He has one of those old-school work ethics because that's what he learned. An iron worker, right? That's what he does for trade. That was what he learned from his father. He also does a lot of, like, custom iron work on the side. But he gets up at regular – and he also was tireless in the gym and fanatical about his diet and then goes and trains at the school 2-3 days a week. He gets up at, like, 3 or 4 o'clock in the morning, goes to work, works – 8-hour shift, then comes home and goes out into his shop and he starts to work on his custom stuff. Then he goes to the school and trains. And oh yeah, and when he's not doing that, he's cooking, he's making all his food for the week, he's writing out diet plans for other people, he's getting his workouts in, and he's doing all this. And he gets about 2-3 hours of sleep a night. I'm like, how do you do it? He's like, I learned it from my dad, who learned it from his dad. So the generation it missed me, that's for sure.
Yes, you inherited the hair though.
I did. I got it.
None of the work ethic, all of the baldness.
I love it. All right, let's we can add some time back into the rest of the show because I want to hear from DDP here in a few minutes. So JR, why don't you tell us where those that are listening can find the Kevin Kelly Show. And then we'll proceed. How about that?
You can find the Kevin Kelly Show any of the following ways. You can visit placetobenation.com, click the Kevin Kelly Show banner or the PTBN podcast banner on the right-hand side. Subscribe to the Place to Be podcast feed on iTunes or visit stitcher.com. Subscribe to the Place to Be podcast or download the Place to Be Nation podcast app by hitting placetobe.podbean.com/mobile on your iPhone or iPad. Follow us on Twitter at @place2bnation or @realkevinkelly. Like us on Facebook at facebook.com/place2bnation. If you have any questions or suggestions for the show, email us at kevinkellyshow@place2bnation.com or tweet up at us using #AskKevin with the KK capitalized.
Get all up in that Twitter thing and have some fun with it. Wrestling Flash time and then Diamond Dallas Page time right here on the Kevin Kelly Show.
Never nervous, Jan Jervis, Kevin Kelly. I am Just Rosero. This is your Wrestling News Flash, brought to you exclusively by WrestleChat.net, your pro wrestling news source. Word coming out of Monday's Raw is that WWE World Heavyweight Champion Daniel Bryan has a broken neck, described as a minor break, and he'll be undergoing a simple procedure this Thursday, but is not believed to be something complex like neck fusion surgery. Belief is he'll be out of action for 6 to 8 weeks. Officials are looking at SummerSlam for his potential return. The injury comes from years of Bryan working in in-ring style such as he does, with not just one instance. Regarding the status of the world title, the belief is that when they get done with surgery, if there's nothing too bad discovered, they'll keep the belt on Bryan. If they get a bad report from the surgery, then Bryan may be stripped. NBC Universal will be announcing their new TV deal with WWE at the big upfront event in New York City on Thursday. NBCU will have all of the networks present, and the Bella Twins announced on Twitter they will be at the upfront on the red carpet, representing E! And Total Divas. Cassandra Frazier, wife of former WWE star Nelson Big Daddy V. Frazier, wrote on Facebook back on May 9th about how WWE has helped her since her husband passed away. She wrote, "I'm in tears. They did the right thing, made sure I have everything I have and everything I need. I won't say an amount, but I'm super well taken care of, feeling happier than I have been in my entire life, except for when I met Nelson. I may even start watching WWE again." Once again, visit our good friends at WrestleChat.net each and every day for the latest news, in-depth features, and Still Real to Us podcast. And be sure to check out the newest episode of the Steve Corino Show this Friday as well at PlaySimulation.com. More on the Kevin Kelly Show, including a visit from the master of the Diamond Cutter, Diamond Dallas Page, after this break.
Let me know you in the house.
This is the king of old school, Steve Corino, and you've heard all the rumors, and it's true. The Steve Corino Show is here. We talk about wrestling, we talk about baseball, movies, television, anything you want to talk about. New guest every week. That's right, the Steve Corino Show every week here on the Place to Be Nation.
Hey, this is Bauer from The Bauer Show, sports and more. You can check out The Bauer Show podcast every Wednesday and Friday right here at PlaceToBeNation.com.
The Bauer Show.
Chad, do you hate it when commercials run and run?
What do you mean, Parv?
Oh, never mind.
Listen to Where the Big Boys Play on PlaceToBeNation.com and find us on iTunes. We are the only WCW Supercard exclusive podcast.
Hey, this is Rob Naylor. Do you still enjoy pro wrestling? Believe it or not, I still do. So you better join myself and Will on the Google Wrestling Podcast exclusively at PlaceToBeNation.com.
Shit, I wasn't ready. Hey, this is Will. If you like listening and... Shit. Hey, this is Will. If you like listening to guys talk about old school wrestling, follow me and Charles on Wrestling with the Past podcast on Place to Be Nation.
So you got the script, yeah? You all got it?
Yeah.
Oh, that sounds terrible. The Titans are wrestling. Oh, brilliant. Sorry. The Titans are wrestling. Oh.
Pete, I'm a lead analyst for show and breakdown matches.
Kelly, lead historian. I'm a jobber lover. Are you?
Johnny and I drink.
And yes, me, Pav. We watch old school wrestling and love it.
Titans of Wrestling.
You know you want to hear it.
We're back on the Kevin Kelly Show here on the Place to Be Nation. And one of the reasons why we started this show was because of a conversation that I had many years ago with our guest at this time, Diamond Dallas Page. DDP, welcome to the show.
What's up, boys?
Hey, listen, you have no idea, but when I started this show a few months ago now, the motto of finish strong was something that was just kind of looming in the background of my head. And I thought of you, and I thought about how your whole career was all about finishing strong, never taking no for an answer, always overcoming the obstacles. So I want to thank you for being an inspiration to me and my career and what I'm doing now.
Oh, you can't get any better than that, dude. Very cool.
Really, very seriously. Cool. You know, in that interview that when after you'd suffered the broken neck, the ruptured L4 and L5, which really a lot of people would have said, okay, that's it. I've accomplished so much. I started in wrestling at 35. I became a world champion at 40. And now I've done everything. I've got a good, successful life. Injuries happen in wrestling. I could walk away with my head held high. You said, nah, I'm going to come back. That's crazy.
But, you know, I went back just at, well, I was 48, and I was about to be 49. And, you know, I'd gotten so into, you know, what became the name DDP Yoga that I really wanted to show guys, like, and use it as an example later. Because my whole thing is, you know, whether it's my career and what I did with, you know, healing my body back from injuries, or the disabled veteran that I helped walk again, or Jake the Snake Roberts, and, you know, how his life is, you know, turned around for him, or Chris Jericho when he was done, you know, and they said he was going to have to retire because of injury. And I think it will, if we can do this, what could you do? You know, and I named some pretty big names, but the disabled veteran was a regular guy. You saw the video of the disabled veteran help walk again, right?
Yes, I did. It's, you know, inspirational. And where can, if people haven't seen that, can they go to the website and see that?
Yeah, ddpyoga.com.
Okay.
I make a landing place because, of course, people can invest in a program there, but it's not like the focus. The focus is to be inspired. And that's why if you watch that video, which has over 10,600,000 views, you'll never see DDP Yoga in it ever.
Right, because it's more about how you've changed lives and changed the way they do things. And I want to ask you about working with Jake and working with Scott Hall. But from your point of view, from your perspective, we know how low they were and the hurdles and obstacles that they had to overcome. Did you, in your own mind, you being so close to both of them, ever think, man, this just isn't going to work. I got to walk away from this.
No, I thought that before I did it.
Yeah.
You know, no, really. My business partner, and if you watch, you know, our videos on DDT TV, you'll see an Asian dude occasionally. His name is Steve Yu, and he's one of my business partners, and he's a brilliant businessman out of Colgate. You know, he's an Ivy Leaguer. Linda, that's where he went to school, right? Colgate, right? Or Cornell. No, it's Colgate. He's at Cornell. He gets so pissed right out now because Ivy Leaguer. He'd be going, it's Cornell or it's Colgate. It's one of the two. I think it's Cornell. I think she's right. She's going, yes, it is, it is. You know, he said to me after I got off the phone with Jake, because I had this, you know, this idea that if Jake was actually to do the program, it was actually to try to, if his body felt better and he started to feel good about himself, excuse me, I got a cough there, you know, could he, you know, start to own his life and change his whole mindset? And after I got the phone with Jake, Steve said to me, well, what if he moved to Atlanta? I said, he doesn't have to move to Atlanta. He can't anywhere in the world to do this. Arthur lived in Baltimore, the disabled veteran. He goes, no, no, no. He goes, if he was around us all the time, why would he, you know, how could he screw up?
Right.
And I said, bro, do you know who Jake Roberts is? this is the guy who's probably one of the greatest characters ever in our business, but he also, along that dark side, he walked there.
Yeah.
You know, so when you walk along the dark side, it's tough to lose. You get caught up in the character. And that's what, you know, happened with Jake. And Steve sort of like talked me into it. I said, you know what, if Jake can do this on his own, if he can do some of the work on his own, I'm in. Because I felt like I owed Jake. So, you know, I said to Steve, I said, if he loses like 5 pounds in the next couple weeks on his own, because he was 307 pounds, forget the weight, though. He was bloated. He was beaten up and broken down. He was a shell of the man. I hadn't seen him yet, but I was about to learn that, wow, you know, he's nowhere near the guy that I remember. And that was like 8 years ago I'd seen him. And he lost like 8 pounds in 2 weeks. I said, I'm coming down tomorrow. And me and Steve Yu hopped in a plane, and we flew from Atlanta to Dallas and drove into Gainesville, Texas. And when we got there, if you've anybody seen the video, The Resurrection of Jake the Snake, that's the footage from that day.
Yeah.
And we started the movie that will be entitled The Resurrection of Jake the Snake. It's a documentary of this guy, that what he would go through and what we would go through over this journey. Now, Linda is sitting right next to me, and she's like our dead mother here. She's like the Radar O'Reilly. You know, anybody watch MASH back in the day, she's the Radar O'Reilly of DDP Yoga. And she's laughing because she always says, you know, it takes a village to raise a child. It takes a country to raise Jake. So, you know, and we all, when we went down to the Hall of Fame, you know, when I got to induct Jake, and that was the goal. We had 18 months before. Now imagine when you see that, the footage of Jake,
yeah,
and where he was, and where he was at that point in his life, and actually think that maybe you could actually take him from this black hole to be on the grandest stage in our business, which is the Hall of Fame. You know, forget all the world championships. It's the Hall of Fame that is like the last, you know, it's the last accolade,
right,
to your business. You know, it's what, you know, people can say they don't care. There's not one who doesn't.
Oh yeah, brother.
So,
that phone rings and they tell you you're going in the Hall of Fame. Guess what? You're the biggest mark in the world at that moment in time. You're like, I'm in. Okay, this is cool.
As you should be, you know.
Yeah.
And you know, for Jake, when I told him, like I talk about it in the beginning of the movie, I talk about it. I said, Jake, I said, you know, this isn't a dark black tunnel. There's actually a speck of light, because if you'll follow, and that's all I was a guy. I didn't cure Jake of anything. You know, Jake did all the work, and Jake is an addict, no matter how you ever look at that. So Jake could fall, like, I don't know, 10 minutes ago. It's how fast does he get back up,
right,
when he falls? Does he get lost in the sauce? You know, what does he do from that moment on? And when I told him that, Jake, this movie could be about your resurrection, that you could walk away from this business that you love with your head held high. Maybe, you know, we could actually get you to the spot where you could be actually inducted in the Hall of Fame. And he said to me, dude, that's never going to happen. I said, right. And you're right. With that attitude, you're right. It'll never happen. If you say you can or you say you can't, you're right. You know who said that? You know the first person to ever say that?
Tell me.
Henry Ford.
Okay, there you go.
But what the fuck did he ever do, right?
Yeah, you know, assembly line. Well, listen, you know, you're not an Ivy Leaguer like Steve Wu, though. But come on,
you know,
you went to a whole different you went to a whole different schooling down there in Jersey, right? Down on the shore, yeah. Little, you know, different upbringing.
Yeah, but everywhere, you know, it's a school life. And I mean, Steve and I, you might have seen us. Did you watch the Shark Tank episode?
I saw him on Shark Tank.
And we're the perfect yin and yang, no pun intended. You know, we've turned this into a $10 million company.
Amazing.
You know, in less than 3 years. And we did it. And this is what the sharks never understood. We did it by inspiring and helping people. That's how we did it.
Not about, like you said, you can watch all the video on DDP Yoga. And it's not about selling you things. It's not about yoga. It's the reason that you built this business as successfully as you have is not about sales. It's not about selling things to people. It's about helping people.
And it works. It, you know, when I was on what's the name of the guy? His name's Stuart. He has the show on Fox. The number one
Stuart Varney.
Stuart Varney, the number one economic show on of any of them.
Yep.
And he gets huge ratings. And I went on his show, and he was so cool to me. And he said, you've had over 100,000 sales in less than 2 years on the internet. And I looked at him, I said, you know what that means, Stuart? He goes, no, what does that mean, Diamond? I said, oh, no, what does that mean, Diamond? What is the English word?
Yeah.
And I said, it works. Period. It
well,
works.
Right. Because you could, because again, the and not to get all businessy here, but we'll do it for a minute. You know, we're not talking about, you know, something that cost $1,000. In fact, the most expensive thing that you could buy is the entire series, and it's $119, three payments of $39. So that's a lot of, to get that, that's a lot of incremental sales to grow it to that level. And your word of mouth, if it was junk and it didn't work, you would never get anywhere near there. But obviously, it works. So that's the whole thing.
And I have it marked down to $89 because since I've done that, it's gone crazy.
Oh, that's awesome.
So it's under $100. And the bottom line is our business plan, like what you see every night, I know every single night where the sales come from Steve Austin's podcast. I can't tell you how many people come off of Steve Austin's podcast and Jericho's podcast. It's ridiculous. Who comes off of the Shark Tank episode? Who comes off of the HBO Real Sports episode? Our own DDP TV. But I can tell you, because this is my favorite number of all, 20 to 25% of the sales for DDP Yoga every single day are from friends and family. And I call anywhere between 3 to 10 people a day. I've called as many as 27 people in a day for thanking them for getting the program. And if I see friends and family, because it just came up on my list of people to call, if they have friends and family, like this woman who bought it, she was 62 in Decatur, Georgia. And she tells me after we talked for about 10, 15 minutes that her daughter bought it for her for Mother's Day. Her name's Ashley. She's 30 in awesome shape. I said, give me Ashley's number. I call Ashley. I guarantee you at some point Ashley will be a promoter. She will be a certified DDP Yoga instructor.
Well, like my man Stevie Richards is, and so that's great.
Right.
He's a workout. You know, I roomed with him several times, and you know he's up at 3 o'clock in the morning working out and training and everything. He's perfect for you. You know, you've mentioned calling people. My producer, JR, Justin Rosero, JR, are you there?
I am here, sir.
One of the guys, Dallas, one of the guys you called with a purchase of DDP Yoga is my producer, Justin. He bought it 2 years ago, and you called him. How about that?
Wow.
How about that? Small world, right?
Very small. I was pumped when I got the call, and I've loved doing it since, and my wife does it. Sometimes we even get our 2-year-old daughter. She'll get down there and do it. And my mother, I have to mention this, Dallas. My mother-in-law is your biggest fan in the world. She loves the yoga. She listens.
Wait. What'd you call it? The what?
My mother-in-law. Your biggest fan in the world.
Loves the what?
Loves the yoga. The DDP yoga.
What'd you call? Okay, now we're right, okay.
Not your mama's yoga. Not my mother-in-law's yoga, but she loves it, and she loves you. She made us all sit down and watch Shark Tank when you were on.
That's awesome.
Loves you.
That's
she loves awesome. You, and she would have killed me if I didn't come on here and tell you that. She wants to know when you're coming to Rhode Island to do a class, because she'll be first in line. That's what she told me to ask you.
Well, we have to, at this point now, we will exchange. When you guys call me back, because you got my right number,
yeah,
because that's my show right after I get talking to you guys. You call me back and leave me, and I will call you back and give you my direct email, because we are coming to Rhode Island, but it's not yet, because there's actually, God, who's it? Jerry the King Lawler's Jerry the King Lawler's girlfriend's mother. I ended up talking to my guy who's my business manager, Marlon. And she was like, oh, my God, I love this whole concept. You know, I want to bring you up for a DDP Yoga workshop. So she's in Rhode Island.
There you go.
That you said that, and said she's such a big fan, I would love that. And, you know, again, I never developed this for women. I developed it for guys. And so many women loved it, which was really interesting to me. that I had to back off on the whole, like, your macho thing. But just make it, just keep it real. And, you know, a lot of women just don't want to do yoga, you know, because they don't like the airy fairy spiritual stuff. And I get that, because that's not what I'm about either. But, you know, that so many women love the program and they're passionate about it. You know, that's what's really cool to me. And that your mother-in-law, I love it. I can't wait to meet her.
Oh, yeah. She you just made her night, Dallas.
That's awesome.
What's her name?
Her name's Diane.
Hey, Diane. Looking forward to meeting you, buddy.
Hey, we got just a couple minutes left, Dallas. I just want to get your thought. Where is all of this going to go? Now, I know you never saw any limitations to anything that you ever did, but I don't have the imagination that you do. Tell me where this is all going to be 5-10 years down the road.
Wow, what a great question. Right now, I'm in the process of purchasing and building my very first DDP Yoga Performance Center.
Yeah.
And it's not like a gym. It's not like a yoga studio. It's not like a dojo or a CrossFit place. It's originally set up for the first reason, and that's for production. It's a production company. You know, I'm doing 3 movies right now, all documentaries. One's The Resurrection of Jake the Snake. The other one is Inspired the Movie, and it will be based around the Arthur Borman story. Because so many people want to know, how did that disabled veteran do what would most 99.999% of the people think is impossible? How did he do it? And then who was affected by that? And then how do you actually not only get inspired, but stay inspired? How do you overcome emotional gravity that pulls us down? Like, nobody can pull you down more than you. You know, the positive side is nobody can pick you up more than you. No one can give you motivation, drive. You know, no one can, like, push you to the limit like you can. So that's what that movie's going to be about. And the last one is my girl Brenda. She has breast cancer. And we've been filming for the last 7 months BK's Big Breast Cancer Adventure. And it's a whole different look on breast cancer and alternative medicine. And it's something she really believes in a lot, and she's doing pretty good with it so far. So, we're going right along with it. So there's 3 movies that we are in development while we are constantly filming all our YouTube videos that you see, and some of them are actually part of the movie. But what we're doing is creating a production studio. Well, that will be a performance center. I've already got a bunch of pro athletes that I'm working with. And, you know, wrestlers, there's over 50 wrestlers, you know, between guys who are retired and guys who are doing it right now. Never mind all the young kids down at NXT, you know, at the performance center down there. But what we're building is all surrounded around an app, because it's the visionary people who are ahead of the curve. And there used to be things called records. And then they were replaced pretty much by 8-tracks. And 8-tracks were replaced by cassettes. And cassettes were replaced by CDs. And DVDs are really the only thing that's left. And that's what we sell. And I know that at some point, they're dead.
Right.
So I'm going to prepare right now to not only sell DVDs for as long as they last, but I'm in the process with my team of creating an app that will change the face of fitness. It will become the Netflix of fitness. And there will only be all the workouts that you can, you know, invest in on ddpyoga.com. There will be everything from DDP Yoga for kids to DDP Yoga for seniors, to so many workouts that you will not believe, because there's so many different ways to do this so you never get bored. Like, I personally just made up 2 workouts for Chris Jericho so that he didn't have to go. He's done all the workouts. He's done them over and over again. What's new? I made up 2 workouts for him. He loved them. I made up workouts for Ryback. I made up workouts for King Mo. I made up workouts for Josh Newhart. I made up workouts for guys who are athletes that know, need to specialize, whether it's your hips, knees, back, strengthen your core and break up scar tissue. So I never do the same workout ever. So now let's take those workouts live to the internet. On top of all of that, food, and most people don't know how to eat real food. Like, I'm about to go on my own show tonight on DDP Radio and talk about a movie called Fed Up, which was produced by Katie Couric.
I saw her on Bill O'Reilly last night, I think. She was talking about that. Was talking about that
balls.
Movie. Yeah.
You know, because they really bust balls on sugar. And the sugar companies that make a lot of, like Coca-Cola, should really be treated like cigarettes, like Marlboro. It really should. But because there's so much money and it's sugar, and you see, the addiction of cigarettes, maybe 30%, 22%, maybe 50% of the population was addicted to cigarettes, which wasn't enough to rule the world. But every single person who's listening to me right now is addicted to sugar.
Right.
And it's been manipulated like this. And I'm going to talk about it very freely tonight. But it's not just sugar. It's genetically modified foods. It's like what I would love people to do, the reason why I helped a disabled veteran be able to walk again, the way I was able to get Scott Hall and Jake Roberts to turn their life around, the way I was able to turn my crazy pain and pressures and turn them around was by eating real food. And what I mean by that is the food that our great-great-grandparents ate. That's all it was. It wasn't genetically modified to make more money. And that's what wheat, dairy, corn, and soy is all. So
right.
I show you how to eat the other food that costs a tiny bit more, but so worth it. I mean, if you knew the people I was dealing with who were in their 50s, 60s, and 70s that are so fucked up because of the food. And when I was a kid, I'm 58 years young. When I was a kid, if someone would have told me that there was a peanut butter allergy and was serious, I would have laughed in the face.
Right.
Last week I got on a plane and they said, please, if you've got peanuts, please. In the plane,
yeah.
Don't open them up. We have a peanut allergy on the bus, on the plane.
Right. It's
like
it's
that's
crazy.
How serious it is.
Yeah.
It's from the food.
Right.
So I'm not going to bust balls on people who are making the shit fake food. I'm going to show you how to eat the real food, and
right.
I'm going to take that same recipe that your mom made that was delicious but was full of shit and garbage. And I'm going to show you what to put in there so it tastes identical to what you just ate, but it's going to be friggin' awesome. And it's going to be good for you. And that's, you know, along with that, and I've got so many other things on how to, the app will track your progress. It'll be interactive. You know, where Diamond Dallas Page is today, you know, everybody who was a wrestling fan in the 90s knew that I was a positive son of a bitch and I was overcoming odds. I was the anomaly. Never supposed to happen, but I did. And, you know, at 42 when I blew my back out, that's where DDP yoga came from. At 42, they said my career was over. 3 months later was what became DDP yoga. I was back in the ring. At 42, they said I was never going to wrestle again. The specials. Top three guys in the world. Less than three months later, I was back in the ring. At 42, they said my career is over. At 43, I was the world champ.
Right.
So I'm going to keep doing that. And I'm going to spread the word. Because where Dallas Page is today, Tony Robbins meets Jack LaLanne meets the straight Richard Simmons.
Well, on that, my friend, we are going to let you go. But thank you so much for your time, Dallas. I really appreciate you coming on the show. Thank you for being an inspiration to me and to tens of millions around the world who have been inspired by your message and by DDP Yoga. Go to ddpyoga.com. Find out more. We'll talk more about it through the rest of the hour. And we'd love to have you back on at some point. Good luck with everything, my friend, and keep at it, okay?
We absolutely do that. And call me back. You got my number. Leave the message, and I'll get back to you on what we just talked about, guys. Hey,
all right,
fellas, it's been your pleasure.
All right.
Hey, and Diane, I look forward to meeting you in Rhode Island. See ya.
There you go. All right, that's DDP, everybody. We'll take a time out here on the Kevin Kelly Show on the Place to Be Nation. Man, that just gets you fired up. It just gets me fired up talking to DDP. I'm not going to lie. It's something else. We're back here on the Kevin Kelly Show, here on the Place to Be Nation. And thank you to Diamond Dallas Page for being our guest. And make sure you go check out ddpyoga.com for all the information, DDP TV, DDP Radio. And when he says he's going to do something, believe it, okay? I've never known him to say something and have it not happen. Put it that way. He's like Henrik Lundqvist. He's at, perfect in game sevens, JR. How about that? The New York Rangers on their way to the Eastern Conference Finals. You're excited, aren't you?
Oh, yeah, sure. I like the Rangers. I'm rooting for them over Montreal, or, well, not Boston if they make it. Montreal ends up winning. I rooted for them over Pittsburgh because Pittsburgh's a bunch of whiners. Oh. Kevin, I will make this promise. I will drop less F-bombs than Diamond Dallas Page on the show tonight.
He was bringing it strong. I'm not going to lie. He was coming correct with the F-bombage.
How come you don't yell at him when he swears? You yell at me.
He's DDP.
Yeah, but only one of us gets the show on the air. It's not DDP.
That's a good point. You know what it is with you? It's because you have a young daughter.
If DDP wasn't so awesome, I so wanted to make a joke with the Jerry Lawler's girlfriend's mom.
Oh, yeah.
I had like 5 age jokes immediately queued up in my head, and I was like, I'll hold off.
Yeah, I think you, me, Steve Carino, everybody, it was just, not good.
I was going to ask which high school she was at.
Oh.
In Rhode Island.
Maybe that's where the school will be at her high school. Oh, that's just not right. All right, well, we've got a lot more to do. We'll take some Twitter questions. We'll play some games later on. We'll be talking sports and whatnot. But right now, this is my favorite part. This is the time when we look at some trending stories. What's hot? What's happening in the world all around us?
Now, Kevin, you may remember this hot slow jam from a few months ago. Your boy, Clay Aiken.
My boy.
Your boy. If you remember, we talked about him in one of our earlier episodes. He was running for some kind of state senate, and we were talking about whether we would vote for him, if we think he could get it done. And he competed in the primary last week, but a little bit of a kerfluffle going down there in North Carolina.
What, voter fraud?
Keith
stuffing the ballots.
Something along those lines. Keith Crisco, no relation to Scott Criscolo, the Democratic candidate was locked in a too close to call election for the House seat against Clay Aiken, died suddenly on Monday.
What?
Death
Wait
report.
A minute, the
yes.
guy he was running against died?
The guy he was running against died, and the primary had just happened. They were too close to call, so they were recounting. Aiken held a 369 vote lead with 40.83% of the vote.
369 votes.
Yeah. Yes, very close. Very, very close. Speaking of going back to our discussion. Well, so the death was reported by the Asheboro Courier Tribune. The newspaper wrote that he appeared to suffer injuries from a fall at his home. Fell down the stairs, and what I also heard in another article, at age 71.
Fell down the stairs?
Fell down the stairs. That's what it says, Kevin. But you think this smells a little fishy or something? A little something going on?
Well, I mean, that was my first thought when I heard that this guy died in the middle of a recount. That's
crazy.
It just stinks.
Where's GW? Think he's involved here?
I don't know. Your boy John Edwards is involved. North Carolina politics.
Oh, I think I meant the psychic. Isn't his name John Edwards, too?
Yeah, him, too.
I feel something bad is coming here. Oh, shit! Sorry.
Oh, no!
I'm
down the steps.
Tough break for Crisco here, because it sounded like maybe he had a chance with this recount. Now, Kevin, have you ever seen the campaign movie starring Will Ferrell, Zach Galifianakis?
No, I never saw that. Was it any good?
It was very good. You should search it out. Very, very funny. And it's about these two guys running for a city or state house seat in North Carolina. So very fitting. Will Ferrell, one of his better kind of under-publicized roles. And Zach was good as well. So
big spoof of politics, much like, you know, the Talladega Nights was a spoof of auto racing.
Right, so. Yep, very similar.
Yeah.
Good stuff. So you think, I guess Clay obviously is going to go through the primary now, right, I would think, and
well, now, so he
advances to the next round.
Yeah, he advances to the primary, from the primary to the general, whoever his opponent is. I'm thinking about getting out of the race.
Better watch out, that's for sure.
Think about it. He's already whacked his, well, maybe had something to do with the unfortunate accident that befell his
I think we
opponent. Need
to be very careful how we word this, but...
Well, but think about it. I mean, it just...
Oh, yes, potential, but, I mean, you're saying he whacked. I think we backed that off. I think you should clarify yourself saying that.
Oh, no, yeah. It's like, no, that's just craziness.
Right.
He didn't have anything to do with it at all, but I'm saying that maybe it's the, you know, American Idol lobby.
What if you think maybe Kelly Clarkson's involved in this, or Seacrest, one of the crew?
That's Seacrest. I don't trust him.
Hmm. I think we need Joe Dombrowski off on this.
Joe Dombrowski, get on. He called me today, by the way.
Oh, God. Did you pick up?
He left me a message. I was at my son's soccer game, so I couldn't.
Did he have a conspiracy theory about the soccer game?
I think he had a conspiracy theory about why he went to voicemail.
The Aiken theory.
Get
Carino on there. It'll be good.
Aiken.
You can get on there in your blue and yellow polo shirt and talk to the world.
What?
I think, isn't that what you were wearing in that? I always picture you in that polo shirt.
Oh, I don't even know what I was wearing.
Well, I'm sure it didn't fit, but...
Why do you gotta say that like that? It's just so not right.
We have a good Twitter question later, by the way. I can't wait to get to.
Oh, great. Fantastic. What is the... are there more trending stories?
You know what? I think we got a couple more here. Let's see what we got in the hopper. Kevin, your good friend Donald Sterling still in the news.
Oh, no. Not my good friend.
Your good friend, your landlord, Donald Sterling, back in the news. He owns the farm you're on. An interview was supposed to be an attempt to rehabilitate Donald Sterling with Anderson Cooper. Did not go so well. He's got AIDS, Sterling said loudly at one point in the interview, cutting off Cooper. As the interviewer attempted to cite Johnson's accomplishments, what has he done, Big Magic Johnson? What has he done? He's got AIDS. So, did you see anything about this interview, Kev?
I did. I saw the clips. Anytime that you try to say you're sorry, you'd better make it a good sorry. And that was a rotten sorry.
Yes.
That was somebody who appeared to be not apologetic at all and was just trying to cover his ass and did a rotten job of it. And I can't wait. I would have loved I like the makeup of the Los Angeles Clippers team, but I can't wait for them to get eliminated from the playoffs so I don't have to hear about them anymore, because I can't take this Sterling business.
Oh, I don't think it matters if the Clippers are playing or not. This thing's not going away. So here's another Sterling quote. He acts so holy, but he made love to every girl in every city in America, and he has AIDS. When he had those AIDS, I went to my synagogue and I prayed for him. I hope he could live and be well. I didn't criticize him. Is he an example for children? Cooper corrected him, said he's HIV positive. What kind of guy goes to every city, has sex with every girl, and catches HIV? Is that someone we want to respect? I think he should be ashamed of himself. You think he has a boat named Tits, like our other friend over in the Middle East?
How about this? Now, okay, that's a hell of a claim that Donald Sterling has made, that he went to every city and had sex with every girl.
We know AC Green wasn't involved.
No, that's right. Your boy was a virgin. Yes. But it was – now, there would probably be 20, 30 million women, I would say, in all the NBA cities. So that might be a bit outlandish, Mr. Sterling. You might want to rethink the math there. But, you know, listen, I think there are some people of Donald Sterling's age and slightly younger that might agree – with some of that point of view regarding Magic Johnson. Now, that his promiscuity you know, in the violating the sanctity of marriage, contracting HIV. That's pretty much it right there for a lot of Americans. Okay.
Promiscuous girl.
Yeah, right? But again, we have moved on as a nation, and I think we've evolved our points of view. But I think there's some old farts like him that feel that that's it. You know what I mean? And they well, see just, things through that narrow made, scope.
And it just made no sense at all. I mean, he clearly was trying to just completely turn this on Magic Johnson for whatever reason. His, get the heat off himself.
He's pitiful. He is pathetic. And I hope he goes away soon. I hope you're wrong, because I really do want him and this story to go away.
Mm-hmm. Well, did you see now the thing with LeBron? The union said the union leader said that LeBron is saying he will not play next year if Sterling still owns the team.
Well, okay, so there you go. Now, that's the first player that I've heard. Now, that's the union leader saying it. That's not LeBron saying it.
Right. The union leader clearly came out and said, LeBron James told me he will not play if Sterling still owns the team when the season starts next year.
Here's the thing. It's a franchise, okay? It's a franchise. It's like Shane McDonald's. Douglas. It's it's like Shane Douglas, yes. But there are 32 people that own – there's 32 NBA teams, right? Or 30, whatever there are.
Yeah, 30.
Okay, so there's 30 NBA teams. They're all franchises. It's like owning a McDonald's.
Right.
You sign documentation that says, while I own this McDonald's or NBA franchise, I'm going to do things a certain way.
Mm-hmm.
And if I violate those rules, I can have my franchise taken away from me.
Right, they can just kick it out of the league. I mean, you know, I've heard some people defend that he shouldn't be forced to sell. He should sell if he wants or whatever the market dictates. But, I mean, yeah, they can just kick the team out of the league then. If they just want to sell, I mean, that might be the recourse, right? Just kick them out. Let them go elsewhere. Whatever. That's it. Clippers just will not play in the NBA anymore.
We can get another team in Chicago. How about that?
Or Seattle, maybe?
Well, put a team back in Seattle. That'd be great.
And now the bigger issue is his wife. No, she's getting in the way, too, because she's saying the team is rightfully hers, and she's willing to go into all the lawsuits and everything else, saying that she deserves to run the team, and that shouldn't be sold. Donald should be kicked out completely, and she should be running the show. So,
well supposedly, according to California law, when you own property, whether it's 1% or whatever, it's 50-50. So
freaking
whatever
Arnold
it
Schwarzenegger,
is.
What's he doing?
Right. Well, I think that predates him. But anyway, so yeah, so there's something to be said about that. But it's a franchise. It's not like owning your own brick and mortar store or anything. It's a franchise. Mm-hmm. And there are rules. They violated the rules. And whatever it was written under, that's it. He's out. He's done. So they just are stripping him of his franchisee rights. If he wants to still own a basketball team, he can own a basketball team. He could pay his own rent. He could buy his own players. He could do whatever, and he could find players to play pickup games with if he wants to.
Play in Rucker Park.
Yeah, go to Rucker Park. He could find
fit right in.
What a reality show that would be, right? Donald Sterling he's trying to rehabilitate his image. He goes to New York and he buys a team to play at Rucker Park.
There you go. Sell it to WWE Network.
They need product. They need something. So. Anyway, are there more? I'm hoping there's a Jay-Z story. Please let there be a Jay-Z story.
Oh, you want a Jay-Z story, huh? I got one. I don't have Jay-Z just yet. I got something else for you, though.
Okay.
Former AWA wrestler Eugene Buck Rock and Roll Zumhoff.
Oh. No.
Sentenced to 310 months in prison this week on first-degree, third-degree counts of criminal sexual conduct for molesting his daughter for years, beginning when she was 15 years old. It is said that Vern Gagne wants to keep pushing him, but, you know, we're going to have to pull back a little bit. Zumhoff's lawyer requested a stay in prison time or probation so he could receive treatment and counseling, but was denied. Must spend a minimum of 17 years in prison before he's eligible for release. Thoughts on the rock and roll, Kevin?
I don't have any thoughts. This guy is a pathetic pedophile, and he needs to be burned at the stake. But I did enjoy the fact that he did try to run away when he was found guilty. Remember that story?
Yes, yes.
That was awesome. It's like, I'm going to run away right now. No, he's come on. I mean, that's the lowest form of life. And you know, one of the things, and I know that when DDP was on before, and what a fantastic guest he was. He was talking about Jake Roberts a lot. You know, Jake came out of it. Jake didn't just wake up a drug addict. You know, I mean, he grew up in a sexually abusive house. You know, where his sister Rockin' Robin was abused, and there was a lot of just weird stuff going on throughout his childhood, throughout his adult life, and you know, so that messes you up. You know, I feel, what about his victim? You know, his daughter, who luckily is not in the public eye, thankfully, and hopefully this guy will be under the jail very quickly. Maybe whoever pushed Crisco down the steps will find their way over to whatever jail cell Zumhoff is in Minnesota.
Vern's still hanging on. Still on dusty finishes. With
Oh, I love it.
All right, one more story. You ready, Kev?
Oh, I can't wait.
Oh boy, Kevin Kelly. Solange Knowles beat down a Jay-Z might have been part of her sister act. Beyonce's younger sibling didn't like the way her brother-in-law Hova was hovering over designer Rachel Roy at the Met Gala after party before Knowles erupted in a fury of fists and feet, educated feet, I'm told, in an elevator, smacking Jay-Z several times. The soul singer had yelled at Roy to keep her distance. Knowles, 27, unceremoniously told the designer, anyone who gets close to Jay has to be warned and deal with her as a sister. Go ahead, Kevin. It sounds like you got something to say with this one.
Oh, it's my favorite story of the week. I absolutely love this. Because when you welcome this kind of drama in your life, this is what can happen. But crazy sister, right? Now, I had heard that Jay-Z was going to leave the party and was going down to Rihanna's party and was going alone. And that's kind of what led to this episode. Any truth to that rumor?
I don't know. I think Rihanna's been beaten on enough, though. I mean, I don't think we needed any more.
Poor Rihanna. Poor Rihanna. Where do you think Jay-Z stands in all this? Does he come out smelling like a rose?
Oh, he always does. I mean, you never see this guy have any kind of hiccup, and it's just a machine with him and Beyonce. You think they're going to jeopardize this tour for this shit? I mean, she'll sweep it under the rug, too. There's so much money on the line with everything they got going on, so I don't think this will be any problem at all.
Is this the launching pad for a Solange career now, she struggled to get some traction? I think this is a good PR move on her part.
Maybe on The Surreal Life or something, but that's about it. Is that show still on? I don't even know.
Well, whatever
your show
whatever's on. Teen Mom, you know. Her Teen Mom's pregnant again.
Which one? The one from the porn?
Oh, I don't know.
Oh.
There was more than one?
Yeah, it was a show with like five or six, I think.
Oh, yeah.
One of them did the porn video.
I don't think it was her. But, you know, Solange, nobody ever knew her other than being Beyonce's sister.
Right.
But now she's the woman that beat up Jay-Z.
I'd argue that many still don't know who she is.
Well, more people know about her today than they did yesterday. So
you think the other Destiny's Child chicks are upset that now they're even further back in the shadows?
They're taping their fists. They're ready to come back.
Kelly Rowland.
I don't even know who the other two girls are in Destiny's
Kelly
Child.
Kelly Rowland was one of them. I don't remember the other one. Dan McGinn probably knows. Maybe he can message us as we go along here.
Maybe. Or maybe not.
I bet he knows. He's all up on the 90s R&B.
Who's our guest in 2 weeks?
Sean Grandy. The Grandy
what
Man.
What up with that?
That's going to be a lot of fun.
Yeah.
You're having podcast problems. I feel bad for you, son. I've got 99 problems. But Richard ain't one. I've got the podcast patrol on that Flash Patrol.
Well, Jay-Z for you. Kelly Rowland and Michelle Williams. How do we forget Michelle Williams, the gorgeous Michelle Williams?
I know, yeah. That's a bad job on our part there. It certainly is not Solange's talent that has prevented her from being a star. I think she is, you know, obviously well-gifted and talented. No, she's a hack.
Well, visit if you go to PlaceOfNation.com, Kevin, and you search our archive for We Missed the 90s, you know, we did a whole piece, me and Jen Engel, on 90s girl bands. We ranked them by talent, or I did anyway. I suggest you check that out. A lot of Salt and Pepper talk. I know you're a big fan of them.
I was. My favorite Salt and Pepper song was
Salt and Pepper, not Pepper.
I said Pepper.
You said Pepper.
Give me a break.
Like the dog, Al Snow's dog. That's what you said.
Okay.
What's your favorite one?
I can't think of the name of it.
You can't think of the name. They only had two really good ones, unless it's, let's talk about sex. Is that
what's the one,
one
that goes shoop, choopa doop?
It's called Shoop.
Oh, is that it?
Yes.
I couldn't think of the name of it. So that was my favorite song.
Hey, yeah, I want to shoot, baby, shoot.
Oh.
That's
what I'm talking about right
there.
Do
you wish I was about you? Oh, not you, the pasty-legged one.
Ew.
That video, that and What a Man came out when I was like 13, and that was just like mind-blowing. I remember we'd get together at like one of our friends' house after work, after school, and just
be whack it together.
Just be in awe of that video. Just
that's disgusting. I want to hear about
fucking grind. Oh, there's my wife bomb. I was gonna do. Oh man, so you get me all fired up.
I know, right?
I vowed I would not do any. I really had made that promise to myself.
Your mother-in-law listens to this show.
Hmm.
She's a big fan of this show since listening to Hanson and Ashley Six and Zach Gowen.
Mm-hmm.
So there you go.
Big fan, and I let her down and the rest of the world down. Steve Willie, most of all, is going to kill me.
Big
but
Willie
still, I got one more to go, though, because DDP said two. So
okay.
I'm allowed one. All right, that's it for trending.
Oh, it's my favorite part.
I know. Two more weeks.
All right.
We'll get back to more.
Well, I had a computer crash, so what's next on the format?
Talking sports. A lot going on tonight. We got all kinds of news. So, most importantly, the Yankees are beating the Mets 4-0 in the ninth. Never nervous, Yan Gervis went deep, and he's up again right now. Sad news in the world of hockey, as the Montreal Pussyfoot Canadiens have defeated the Bruins 3-1, and they will advance on to face your New York Rangers, Kevin. What are your thoughts on that series?
I'm very excited. I'm very happy. To make the Eastern Conference Finals is great. If Montreal won, it wouldn't shock me because I think they're a better team. But there's just something special right now. And I was the one that was like, oh, my God, they traded Girardi for St. Louis. I can't believe it. What a terrible trade. How do you trade your captain midseason? And then he came to New York, and he was a bum, and he couldn't score. And now he's the leader of the team. And I see his body language on the ice. You know, he's the one that's greeting the guys as they're coming off the ice. He's the last one off in between periods. He's assuming the role of a leader. Now, Brad Richards is sort of the de facto captain, but I'm impressed with the way Saint Louis is stepping up and all the players around him. So,
you gonna lay a prediction on us?
I think Montreal wins in seven. I think it goes seven games.
Let me ask you about this because I have a pet peeve with picking in seven. Because to me, if you're picking in seven, you might as well pick in six, right? Because if you get to seven, you're basically saying it's a crapshoot, right? You get to seven, anyone can win in one game. I think most people would have said Bruins in seven, not Montreal in seven, right? Because they're the home team. To me, if you believe a team can win in seven, you might as well pick them in six. Because you're saying you think the team is better.
What I said was, you know, and it's either seven or five. I think they'll win on their home ice. You know, if the emotional ride is over for the, you know, for the Rangers, then it could be five games. It could be pretty quick, as the Pittsburgh series looked like it was heading. But if they stay around in this thing, I think they could stretch it, you know. And if it goes six or seven, it would not shock me. But I think Montreal is the better team, and the Rangers are playing with a little bit of house money. So if their momentum runs out, they do get an extra day of rest, which is nice. So that'll help them. Because they had a grueling schedule through the end of the Philly series into the Pittsburgh series. We'll see what happens. But I think Montreal is a better team. They should win.
I'm rooting for your Rangers. I want to
okay.
Them. And we have Anaheim, L.A. Game 7. Or is it Game 7 or 6? What are they in? I should know this.
Well, we know that Chicago closed out the Wild last night.
This is Game 6. So Anaheim leads 3-2. So they can close it out tonight. In the NBA... Brooklyn choked away a lead late, and Miami held on to win, so they have closed that series out. And then we still have the Pacers and the Wizards still duking it out. They play tomorrow night. Indiana's up 3-2. Looks like they've maybe righted the ship a bit.
That Indiana team is crazy, though.
Yeah, they are crazy. I mean, but they're crazy enough and good enough to where if they can get it back together, I think they can give Miami a little bit of a series. San Antonio looking to close out Portland tonight up 3-1 in their series, so... There was your basketball update, your sports update. Big news in the NBA as well, Kevin. A guy you thought was headed to New York, to your Knicks, Steve Kerr, accepted a job as head coach of the Warriors.
I can't believe that. I'm shocked. Well, then again, nothing should surprise me with Jim, with Dolan as the owner.
He had to pick between two really shitty ownership groups because the Warriors just ran Mark Jackson out of there, who's a very, very good coach. And it seemed like they did it out of some kind of weird personal issue. So now you're picking between them or the asshat backwards Dolan. So
the two worst owners in professional sports are both in New York City. And that would be Fred Wilpon of the Mets and Dolan of MSG, of the Rangers and the Knicks. Mostly the Knicks, because he stays out of hockey because he doesn't understand it. But basketball, he thinks he knows. So that's why he hires Isaiah Thomas and does all the stupid things that he's done, ruining the franchise. But Wilpon and the Mets takes the cake, the absolute worst owner in professional sports.
Do you think they will go after Mark Jackson?
You know, that's funny. I thought about that the whole time. Like, why wouldn't they just bring Mark Jackson back to New York? It just seems to fit. I don't know. It's interesting. Will Mark Jackson fit with would Mark Jackson fit with Phil Jackson? Would they get along if they're indeed if Phil has final say on all the basketball operations? I'm not sure.
I hate that stuff so much. He's a good coach. We saw it. Bring him in. I mean, you know, look at a guy like Joe Girardi, right? Had a lot of issues with the ownership that seemed to be like maybe he was the problem, and it was because there was a batshit owner down there in Florida, and he's turned out to be a very good manager. If a guy has a track record of getting a lot out of a team that may doesn't have all that talent like he did in Golden State, he can coach. Bring him in. Don't worry about him and Phil's relationship. Who cares about that? Yeah, you'll get on the same page when you win. Find a guy who can win, not a Muppet that can dance on
what
the
I'm...
If Phil wants to coach, go coach. Go coach. Don't bring
what
in your Muppet.
What I'm thinking of, is it more of a system thing? Like, is he going to want a triangle guy, and is he going to want that coach to
then
run
coach,
the triangle?
Then coach. If you want to,
that's
you wanna
why he
dictate,
wanted Steve Kerr.
Well, if you want to dictate the offensive system, then go coach. Don't make your new coach fit. If Jackson can bring a system that fits the team and wins, why not go with that? If you want to run the triangle, then come coach the triangle.
Yeah, I think, I don't know. It's interesting. I don't know. So I don't know who that guy would be. I don't know who's going to, you know, you got the Knicks and the Lakers. Both jobs are open.
Mm.
That's, to me, that's
and the
amazing.
Cavs. Hot job. Oh. They're interested in John Calipari. Can you believe that? You think Coach Cal would leave Kentucky for Cleveland?
Probably not. Yeah. He's going to take that job tomorrow.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
Idiots.
Absolutely. Oh, God. I don't know. What do you think about the NFL draft? What did you think about the whole thing with Manziel going where he went in Cleveland and then the whole Michael Sam thing? What do you think?
I think Jacksonville should have taken Manziel, to be honest with you. I don't like Blake Bortles. I think as a number three pick, they're going to be very disappointed. I know they loved him. I kind of like the other moves with the receivers and some of the other stuff they're doing in general. I just think they're going to end up whiffing on this quarterback. I think Cleveland did very well in this draft. I thought they were smart to make that trade with Buffalo, pick up some extra picks. I thought they did pretty well for themselves. You know, Manziel's, I think his floor is still a good backup, and I think his ceiling could be a star. So I think it was worth the risk at number 22, especially for such a moribund franchise as them. They weren't going to do any better than Manziel in this draft anyway.
Exactly. When you're as low as Cleveland or when you're as low as Jacksonville, take a risk. Let it fly. What's the worst that can happen? You still stink?
Take the ceiling guy. That's what I say. I mean, Bortles, what's his ceiling?
I don't know. Ben, if he's Ben Roethlisberger part two.
Without the rape and the motorcycle?
Did Ben Roethlisberger, has he been a good NFL quarterback on the field?
Been. Very good. Okay. Oh, more than good. He's been excellent.
Okay. So if he has the tools and if he has the measurables of a Roethlisberger, and if he can carve out a career, a lot has to happen, of course. You got to have a really good defense on your side. I don't know if Jacksonville has that. You know, we'll see what happens. I'm higher on Bortles than you are. I saw him play several times just because I got UCF games and was interested in the franchise. I was interested in the stadium more than anything else. I was like, oh, they got their own stadium. Let's watch the games there. Play in Oklahoma State. I think he's decent. We'll see. Nobody's NFL ready, though. I didn't think there was anybody in this draft that's like ready to step in a la Andrew Luck and just take over a franchise and lead him. So we'll see.
See, to me, if you can't get that guy in the top five, then don't take a quarterback.
Exactly, right.
Jacksonville could have taken him at 9. Like, you trade up to 3, or you're at 3 and you take him. You could have dropped back. Maybe you do the Buffalo trade there instead of Cleveland. If you can't get a quarterback ready to come in and start, then don't take one in the first round. Makes no sense to me.
Did you think, did you see the footage of the war room when the Dallas pick was being made in the first round? And did you think Jerry Jones was having a stroke or an aneurysm when he wanted to pick Manziel and everybody else wouldn't let him?
Oh, it killed him. But that's what they get. I mean, they give Romo too much. And the problem would have been that Manziel would have sat. And between the Dallas fans and already a tumultuous relationship with Romo, even though they love him and he's a big star down there, you know, one pick, two pick, a fumble, a crucial play down the stretch. If he blows it, you're going to start getting the Johnny chance immediately. So it's not something to me that would have been worth the risk for them. Only maybe if, you know, you could have found a way out of Romo's contract, then maybe you think about it. But with the way that contract is now, I don't see it happening.
What do you think, and this is back on the wrestling topic, what do you think about Daniel Bryan's neck injury? Is it worse than they're letting on? Is it not as bad? What do you think?
I don't think it's worse. You know why? Because I think they wouldn't mind getting the title off him deep down.
Really? Okay.
Deep down, if you ask Vince, I think if he had a chance to get it off him and put it like on Batista, they had a reason to do it. I think they would have done it. I honestly do. I really think if they thought if it was more serious, they kind of would jumped at it. Now, they're saying on Raw this week they're going to have an announcement about the future of the title, so we'll see. I really think, like we heard in the Flash earlier, that they're going to see how the surgery goes. If it's worse than they thought, I think they'll strip him and do a tournament, which I still don't think is even the worst thing for him. I think as long as he doesn't miss more than 4 to 6 months and it's not something that's going to severely hamper his style going forward, I think he'll be fine. I really
do. The doctor that he's having the surgery, I think, did Kurt Angle's.
Yep.
And
he's been fine.
Yeah, he's not the big invasive fusion guy. He's right. The one he'll go in and do it with the scalpel as opposed to with the chainsaw. So it'll be repair, not just complete, you know, fusion. So he should be okay. We'll see. I don't know. The more, because I heard the story in the Flash before, and now the more I think about it, the more my gut keeps telling me it's bad, and he's going to be out for a while.
And again, I think if he's back by Survivor Series, I don't think it's. I mean, it's bad for them because I don't know who they have, and I mean, I would hope they would do some kind of tournament and not just do something stupid. Well, Batista is supposed to be leaving now, so obviously they're not going to put it on him. So I don't know where they go. I'm not sure who they turn to. Are they going to go right back to Cena and put it back on Cena again?
Brawler's my man.
I think you alienate a lot of potential buyers for this network if you go all the way back to Cena once again, if you take it off Brian.
Yeah.
Do they back the truck up for Punk?
Very good question.
I'd say it depends how long Brian's out. Now, if he's out a year, if he's out 10 months, then I think you bring Punk back. If he's out 4 to 6 weeks or, you know, 4 months, I think you probably don't go begging.
Yeah. Well, we got to take a time out here on the Kevin Kelly Show, and then we'll wrap things up. We got games, we got fun, we got your Twitter questions as well. We'll wrap things up here on the Kevin Kelly Show on the Place to Be Nation. Stay with us.
What's going on? This is the Godfather, Nate Milton, with an offer you cannot refuse. Each and every week, you can join Marcus Vanderberg, Big Nasty Alfred Kunawa, and myself on the Kings of Sport podcast, available exclusively on PlaceToBeNation.com, your one-stop spot for the best in sports and pop culture.
Hey, this is Ben Morse from Marvel.com as well as the Brad and Chad Show, and I've got a new podcast. Well, I'm part of a new podcast, Place to Be Nation's Main Event. Hosted by Scott Criscolo every other week, it's a roundtable discussion with myself, Andrew Reich, Steve Willey, Jordan Duncan, and an assortment of special guests as we talk wrestling today, the big questions, and our feelings. Please, please, please check this podcast out, because if the ratings go down, I know I'm the first head on the chopping block for Justin Rosero. See you guys every other week on Place to Be Nation's Main Event.
I'm Scott Criscolo, and your new home for sports is Place to Be Nation's Extra Point. Join me and the doctor, George Urbelino, for your sports hookup, whether it's NFL, Major League Baseball, NBA, colleges, or the Cowboys MMA Blitz.
Forget about it. Plus, join me for my prescription where I will solve all the world's sports problems with my own brand of medicine.
That's Place to Be Nation's Extra Point here on PlaceToBeNation.com.
In Rhode Island and looking for great food and a fun atmosphere, we'll be sure to stop by Bonehead's Wing Bar, 131 Washington Street in West Warwick. Deliver 65 different wing sauces and dozens of sandwiches, burgers, and appetizers. In a fully stocked bar, Bonehead's has something for everyone. Bonehead's also shows every WWE and UFC pay-per-view, features live music, weekly trivia, and much, much more. So be sure to stop in, tell Matt and the crew that Place to Be Nation sent you, and become a Bonehead today.
What's up, wrestling fans? This is Jeff Peck, and you can check out my wrestling podcast, The Still Real to Us Show, every Saturday right here at PlaceToBeNation.com. It is a wrestling podcast from a fan's perspective, and we're not doing it in our mom's basement. So check it out every Saturday right here at PlaceToBeNation.com.
It's still real to me, damn it!
Hey, we're back on the Kevin Kelly Show here on the Place to Be Nation. DDP was our guest earlier on. He was fantastic. And I want to thank him once again for joining us. We also heard from the Jay-Z camp and our man JR there, boots on the ground, breaking it down for us with this fight with Solange and everything else. We're keeping it. We've got the finger on the pulse of everything in the world. Just like the Place to Be Nation is your one-stop shop for everything. JR, what's the slogan for the website again?
It is Masa My Hero Tanaka. It is, of course, we don't like the one-stop shop. We say it's the only place to be in your pop culture world. Place to be
pop
Nation.
Culture world, that's it. That's what makes me... I really enjoy that a lot, and there's a lot of good stuff on there. So we've got some Twitter Q&A, we've got a game to play, we're going to go over some other stuff as well. Where are we in this? I've lost my format.
You're running blind.
I've had computer issues. You could tell me anything right now, I would believe you. Go ahead.
The Mets won. No, they didn't. So we have Twitter Q&A. We have a few here, and one I'm really looking forward to.
All
let's
right.
go with our buddy J.D. Virgilio 4. You may hear him pop up on the Steve Carino show often. Real Kevin Kelly, do you have any particular guy you would like in Ring of Honor who wasn't on the Future of Honor event?
Well, that's a good question. Ring of Honor, Well, I would love to see, there are two guys I would love to see in Ring of Honor. One guy back in Ring of Honor, another guy debuting in Ring of Honor. The back in Ring of Honor guy I would love to see is Mike Mondo. And the return and the debuting guy I would love to see is Stevie Richards. I mentioned Stevie before with Paige because he's a certified instructor, and I know coincidentally Mondo's been doing a lot of work with DDP Yoga. He turned it out at he just had like a match at the WWE recently.
Mondo Guerrero?
No, that would be Mike Mondo,
oh.
And did great. Really, just rocked it. So I would love to see him come back and have one more shot. So those are the two guys that did not, you know, not part of Future of Honor that I would love to see in Ring of Honor. Be a lot of fun.
All right. From our buddy Barth Matty, with the recent events of Daniel Bryan, do you think they'll start a neck chant instead of yes?
No. Neck. Neck. you know, listen, in the WWE universe, anything is possible.
Mm.
Some of the crowds.
Wow, talk about sipping the Vince Kool-Aid with that one.
Well, no, it's true.
Anything can happen in the World Wrestling Federation. Anything is possible.
You have...
I might even rehire you.
fans from all over the world who go crazy, and they get on TV, and there's all kinds of weird chants. So, yeah, sure, neck. That would make me laugh if I heard that.
You think they'll chant booked? Booked. Booked.
For?
Booked. For Dennis Stamp.
And then what would he say? What would Dennis Stamp say if he... heard the booked chant?
Shut up!
How have they not brought him in at least once, you know?
For the network.
Anything. Instant money.
trampoline.
I don't do any tricks.
You can get him on, Kevin. You got to start working on this one.
You know what? It's a good point.
We got to get Stamp on here. Now, I'm not going to be any good. This is all you. You got to reach out. By the way, we need to give some love to our buddy Ben Morris. You gave me all the credit in the opening segment for DDP. Ben Morris did a great job helping me out with DDP.
Thank you, Ben Morris. You did nothing, JR.
But I just jumped.
All right, what's the next question?
By the way, Masahiro Tanaka went complete game shutout against your pathetic Mets.
Woohoo!
All right, here's a good one. WrestleChat.net, our good friends, sponsors of your Wrestling Flash. I think fans would love to hear your side of the WWE tryouts you attended back in the day and how they went.
Oh, ask me the question again.
Your fans would love to hear your side of the WWE tryouts you attended and how they went.
All right. The main, it sort of evolved over time and it's a little bit different now, but the first true like tryout camp that we did was in 2001 or 2002. It was in Cincinnati at Les Thatcher School. And there were a lot of really good guys there already that were training with Les. And so we brought in some highly sought after guys, be it on the independent scene or whatever, that just had really something special going on, and see how they did. And so that was like the first camp, quote unquote. The list was, AJ Styles, Matt Morgan, Travis Tomko, Kevin Thorne, Fertig, Seven, the vampire guy, Rene Dupree. Who else? Oh, Bobby Roode.
I stay fit. I watch what I eat.
Dennis Stamp was not there, surprisingly. But anyway, we had guys like Raven and Tommy Dreamer and Dr. Tom and Les and all these different trainers that were working with the guys, and then kind of gather all the trainers' evaluations, take them to Johnny Ace, and the highest two ranked guys, according to everybody's feedback, was AJ and Bobby Roode. Neither got hired, but Matt Morgan did, Travis Tomko did, Kevin Furtick did, Rene Dupree did, and why not Bobby Roode? Johnny Ace didn't see anything in him, and AJ was too small, and they gave a low ball offer too, and that was it. So. Over time, it evolved into much more of a let's bring them down here, kind of blow them up, money grab sort of thing I don't mean money grab, but I mean like if you have $1,000 to spend and you want to try out for the WWE, we don't care where you come from. I like it better when it's an invite only when you have to have some experience and be experienced. Now, with Ring of Honor, what we do is it's a teaching camp. And so I work with guys on their promos and things like that. And then we have a whole host of wrestling trainers who are going to teach you how to be better wrestlers. But that's where we're getting all of our guys from now, is from the talent that we see at these tryout camps, because we get some awesome guys that come and learn. And they get better and better and better. So, of course, we're going to use them. And that's what we do. So those are my thoughts on the tryout camp in the WWE.
So it gets to be a lot longer between matches.
All right, Kevin. Here's my
Dennis Stamp is a. I'm making it happen. That's my promise to you.
Oh, if you do that, we'll be good to go.
I'm going to make it happen.
Okay. For our buddy Stephen J. Sutton, of course, the author of The Honor Report, PlaceManation.com. Kevin, what is your memory of the cookbook from the WWF and your carb-free breakfast quiches that I'm assuming you have not eaten many of since?
Now, he did not say that.
I said that.
That last part was all you.
It was all me.
A lot of the recipes in that book were from my wife, believe it or not. Not all of them, just right. A few. And myself and JR and his wife and then others that submitted recipes. It was fun. It was really good. Carb-free breakfast quiche. Had a few of them. It's not my most favorite thing.
The reason the quiche was carb-free was because you had eaten all the carbs available.
You know, it just gets worse with you each and every week.
I'm trying to shame you into doing DDP yoga.
Well, why? Do you think I need to?
No. Dan McGinn, by the way, calling me a dick. Let me tell you about this guy, right? So, have you heard of Narragansett Beer, Kevin?
Yes.
Okay. So, they do a lot of, like, local specials, right? So, last winter, they did a coffee milk stout, Narragansett, because coffee milk is a big thing here in Rhode Island. Autocrat is the brand. And it was delicious, right? And it was crazy. Everyone went nuts for it. They didn't make a lot of it, so it was really exclusive. And then they announced they're doing a Del's Lemonade Summer Shandy for Narragansett. Del's Lemonade, of course, is a big frozen lemonade around here. And everyone's going ballistic for it, right? So everyone's pumped. It just came out Tuesday. Liquor store is already having a hard time. It's sold out. And so I said, hey, Dan McGinn, you're coming down here to hang out Friday with me and Andrew Flanagan and the cowboy Roger Morissette. We're gonna hang out, have a good time. Hey, why don't you go to the liquor store and see if they have it around there up in Massachusetts? It's probably not as big a deal. Maybe you could bring some down. So I'm all excited. Dan teases today that he has some. I'm all pumped up. So I don't stop at any liquor store. I get home and I ask him, hey, Dan, how much did you get of the beer? Oh, I was just joking around. I didn't buy any yet. Like, what a dick. I'm like, I would have stopped at the liquor store.
Hmm.
Right?
I don't understand his rationale for that. That's not even, like, funny. You know, it'd be one thing. I don't know. Is it because he's not 21 yet?
I don't know. I just think he's being kind of a jerk. It wasn't even a funny joke. You know, it was just kind of mean. He knows how much I'm looking forward to it.
I think there's a make good on, you know, in the future.
I think he should have to buy the whole Boneheads order Friday night. Do you agree?
By the way, the pictures of Boneheads from the spread that you guys had when you enjoyed the pay-per-view there, mm-hmm. It looked amazing.
Oh, so good. And they won the best wing bar tonight in the Rhode Island Magazine award ceremony.
Congratulations.
So that was a big night for them tonight. And the owner, my friend Matt, who's a big fan of the site and the show, he's in a cover band, and they won best cover band in the state at the same ceremony. So big night for the Boneheads crew.
Everything's coming up Boneheads.
Everything coming up Boneheads.
That's fantastic. And big shout out to my buddy Brady Fantasi, who opened Main Street Mac this past weekend.
How's he doing? I've been wondering.
It was the first weekend it finally opened up. They had some construction delays, mm-hmm. as it happens every time, but had their grand opening this past weekend at Saturday's Market, and it was a sellout.
Awesome.
They sold everything, and everyone loved it, so congratulations to Brady and the crew. Main Street Mac, it's in Middletown, PA, it's Saturday's Market. Go over and check them out and tell them Kevin Kelly and the podcast said hello.
How are we sitting here talking about these great ventures and not involved in them? That's what I want to know.
We're on our own great venture.
Yeah, that's right.
Don't you think they're sitting there with Boneheads talking about, God, we wish we could do the podcasting like Justin does there with the Place to Be Nation?
That's true. They are very open. They want us to do a show there. I think you got to come up. We got to do a live show of Boneheads, Kevin.
Maybe we time it with the whole DDP weekend with Jerry Lawler's teenage girlfriend.
Yes.
What?
The teenage wasteland of Jerry Lawler's love life.
That would be fun. So you think I should get involved with this DDP yoga thing?
I think you should give it a shot, Kev. Scrap the nickels together. I think you should do it.
I'm a very cheap person.
I know
I'm
you are.
I'm not going to lie.
We can tell by your clothing.
See, it's just not right. I don't know. I don't know. I'm afraid of buying it. You know what I'm afraid of? I'm afraid of buying it and then it never doing anything with it.
Well, what happened to finishing strong? I mean, that was this whole thing.
I know.
I can call you out every week if you didn't do it. I mean, I think we'll make it happen. It's fun. I mean, you'll like it. DDP, like, you were motivated tonight. He's the same way on the DVD.
I know, I was.
He keeps it going on the DVD.
Seriously.
Funny.
No lie. I was really, like, fired up listening to him. Like, I could listen to him, you know, with anything. I think he's awesome. All right, let me think about this.
Okay.
I think if I try it, I don't want to disappoint anybody. That's the other thing too.
Well, look, you've already done that plenty, so I don't think it's going to be
that's right.
Be a deal.
That's
the life. I just ordered pack 2 after 2 years because I needed to change it up. I got the different set.
So yeah.
It's good. It gives you the food guide, the nutrition guide. I think it would help you out.
And so it's DVDs.
Yeah, DVDs. And you also get, they email you MP3s as well. So once you learn it, if you've seen it enough, then if you're on the road like you are, you know, you can just listen to the MP3 version and the audio and do it.
Hmm. Where do you listen to that? On your phone?
Yeah, just play it off your phone.
Hmm.
You're friends with Stevie Richards. Ask him about it.
I know.
Have him teach you a class. We can. Why don't you record it for the website?
Dude, he's one of the best guys in terms of, like, if I ever needed help, he would help me in a heartbeat.
I think you should do it. Why don't we schedule him after Grandy, and we'll talk about it on air.
Okay.
All right. He's been on show, too, before, so I know him. We talked to him on ours.
And my buddy Jay Diesel in Ring of Honor, he's like, he gave me a diet, and I was like, okay. And I just didn't know how I could make it work with my work schedule. And, you know, so that's just kind of sat there. I'm not a hypocrite with this Finish Strong thing.
I know.
I know that.
You're just a weak man.
Yeah, I know. I know that it doesn't have to happen today. And just because it doesn't happen today, that doesn't mean it won't happen. But I need to get my ass in gear because I've been talking about it all year long. And now it's already the middle of May.
And you can have bad days, Kevin. See, the thing is all about calorie replacement. Look at something that you don't really care about and look at the calories involved and say, I can replace this and not miss a beat, right? So say you eat like a Nature Valley granola bar.
Yeah.
There's like 300 calories in that thing. You would never think about
it. Really?
Yeah. I used to have one every morning for breakfast, right? And one day I'm like, what am I doing? I looked at the calorie. I'm like, I don't even love this thing. So I switched it out for Greek yogurt. You save like 250 calories or so on that. And it really doesn't affect your day in any way. And then you.
By the way, Greek Fest is this weekend.
Greek Fest is awesome. We have a couple up here. So good. One of my friends is a cook, big Greek, is a cook at the festival, and it's just fantastic.
His name is Big Greek?
He's a tiny Greek, but he's big into being a Greek.
Oh, gotcha.
Big eyebrows, dark hair. Heavy Greek. but if you. Little things like that. Like, that's my tip to you would be that. Look at the things that you can go without, and that's where you save. Instead of getting rid of the shit you really like, if you really like buffalo chicken pizza, have your buffalo chicken pizza. Don't have the whole pizza. Have a couple pieces. And then you save elsewhere. Don't have ranch dressing with it or blue cheese. Cut that out. Little things. You drink soda?
I'm cutting most of that out.
If you cut all of it out and switch to water, your life will be the same, and you will notice a big difference.
I hate water.
I know. Get the Crystal Light little packs there.
What about, like, seltzer?
Yeah, that's good, too. There's nothing in that.
You think that's okay?
Yeah.
Tonic water, lemon lime, seltzer. Lemon lime, calorie-free, sparkling water.
There you go. I love, I drink Pellegrino a lot, if you need a little kick to it. All right,
This is what I'm drinking now.
Pellegrino?
Yeah, carbonated water, natural flavor.
There you go.
Sparkling water, lemon flavored.
Yep, that's good. Drink that.
All right, I'll keep drinking that.
All right, there's our health tip for the week. Why don't we tell him to play our game here?
Ooh, it's game time?
It's game time, baby.
I love it.
Time to play the game!
Okay. All right, Kevin, this one's not really as much of a game as it is more of an exercise. Mental exercise.
Oh, okay, good.
Not physical. So we're going to have 10 picks apiece, and we're going to draft two companies to compete in the current wrestling landscape in North America.
Okay,
so you can pick
from.
Get a pen. Yep, okay.
All right,
get
I'm
some
ready.
Scratch paper. Okay, so we are going to, we can pick from WWE, you can pick from NXT, TNA, Ring of Honor. And we're building a roster to compete over the next 3 years. Assume you have a TV deal in place. We're going to pick 10 wrestlers apiece. We're going to go snake style. You get pick one. I get two and three. You get four. And we go from there.
Okay.
And then at the end, we're going to pick, we'll say, like one on off-air personality, like a commentator or whatever. On-air, but not in-ring. Kind of got this idea from a great piece on PlayStation.com that Andrew Reach and Ben Morse did, where they redrafted the WWE. They redrafted the whole company. So we're not going to go that crazy here. Maybe we'll do this back half another time, but we'll do the first 10. So you get the number one pick, Kevin Kelly. We are booking for the next, let's say, 5 years. So you want a mix of youth and established talent.
Okay, so I have the first pick.
You have number one, and then I'll have number two and three.
All right, first pick, I pick John Cena. Because he's the franchise. He's the main draw. He's the one that is going to bring people into the building. I can use others underneath him, but he's the guy that's going to get me right off the bat, he's going to get me noticed, eyeballs on the product.
Okay. All right. For my number one pick, it's number two overall, I'm going to take Daniel Bryan. I'm going to assume his neck is okay. and I'm going to position him to be my John Cena. I'm going to cater to the fans, and I think not only just the internet fans, but I think he's really catching on with all fans as well. For my second pick at number three, I am taking Cesaro, because I think this guy's going to be big money. He's got the look. I think he can work heel. He can work face. He connects, has good charisma. So those are my two studs right there that I am starting my promotion with.
All right. I can go anywhere.
Anywhere in North America, you get two picks now. You get number four.
I can't go to Japan?
No, let's keep it just to North America for now.
All right, because I was going to pick Okada.
No, let's keep Ring of Honor, TNA, NXT, WWE. And you can pick guys not active. Like, if you want to take Punk or something like that, you can take him. If you think you can convince him to come back.
I don't think I could convince him to come back. Gosh, this is harder than I thought.
Yeah, Big Show still on the board. Sorry.
I'm going to go with Adam Cole.
Ah, that's going to be my pick.
Okay.
And you get another one. You get two back-to-back here.
Well, I love the pairing, so I'm going to go Michael Bennett.
All right. There you go. That's a good one.
Okay.
All right. So that was pick four and five. So I get pick number six now.
Yep.
I got one guy in mind, but I don't think it's ready yet. I think maybe next time around I'll grab him. Kind of filtering through the roster here. I am going to take Roman Reigns.
Okay.
Another big guy that I think I can have a long-term feud with Cesaro with. And then I really wanted Cole. Who else you get over there in Ring of Honor? Anyone good?
Yeah.
Oh, like there's some guys I just think it's too early to take, like a Cedric Alexander. Like I think
I'm not telling you names because
I'm looking at the roster right now. I don't need you.
Okay.
All right. I'm gonna stick with the Shield. Actually, I'm gonna take Ambrose.
Okay.
So now you get your two.
Okay. I will take
Tony Schimmel.
Well, he's in a of course. God, this is hard.
So what pick is this? This is let's see, you did one, I had two, three, you had four, five, I had six. So this is pick number eight.
I'll take the last Shield guy so you won't be able to have all them to yourself. I'll take Seth Rollins.
That's a good pick.
Okay.
You get another one here.
I'll take Triple H.
Oh, interesting. I knew you loved him deep down.
Yeah, that's it.
What's your rationale for taking him?
It's star power slash he'll put people in the right positions to be successful. I would have a lot of youth. I don't need a lot of experience, but I can have a few veterans that I can then make some younger guys mean more. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
Which is where I want to be. So
okay,
all right.
Well, that's where I'm going next. I am taking for star power alone. Even though I know I'm not going to get much out of him, I'm taking Brock Lesnar.
Not a bad call at all.
You know, I think you get big time star draw power, which I'm lacking a little bit with. You know, I don't have Cena. I think he's the next biggest draw, I would say, actively, right? After Cena.
He's an attraction, there is no doubt.
So.
Absolutely. And he's very special every time he's on the marquee.
Okay.
Absolutely. I'm gonna go back.
Wait, still mine.
Oh yeah, you got one more.
There's another guy I want, but I think it's a little too early. I'm gonna hold off. I'm gonna take Sami Zayn.
Yeah.
From NXT. Former Generico.
Yep. I was going to take him.
All right. We have five picks. You have five left. I have four.
All right. I'm going to take. I'll take Cedric Alexander.
Yeah, it's a good pick.
Okay. And I'm going to take Bobby Fish.
Oh, damn it.
Yes. Because that guy can talk.
Yeah, he's so good.
Not only, I mean, he's got all phases of the game. He has everything. So
he was my next pick. All right, back to the drawing board. So I am going to take I'm going to take Randy Orton.
Okay.
Another name guy, a guy that can work, a veteran. Actually, did you take two guys? Who did you take?
I did. I took Cedric and Bobby Fish.
Right. Okay. Yeah, so Randy Orton will be my next pick. And let's see, I got three more to go. So I think I got a good balance right now of names and talents. So I'm going to take another young guy that I think I can use a lot for promotional stuff, and I think he's good in the ring when he has the right character, and that's Sheamus.
Okay. Sheamus. I wouldn't have picked him.
No?
Mm-mm.
Too old for you?
Ugh. Well, since I took Bobby Fish, I'll take Kyle O'Reilly. Okay.
See, I think that makes sense. Like, to me, you only take O'Reilly if you have Fish.
Yeah. And, but I think he stand out on his own.
The one thing I don't like about him is and I'm not all about guys having to beat stiff and beat the shit out of each other, but when we were in Pittsburgh, that match he had, the singles match, I think it was with Steen.
Yeah.
Really soft. Like, his punches and his kick, like, everything seems soft. It was weird. Like, Steve's a big fat guy. Like, to me, it looks like you could lay it into him and he wouldn't care.
Well, when he was in the ring with Davey, it was a completely different match. So,
yeah.
But, okay, I got one more pick.
Yep, and then you'll get one more at the end. If I'm figuring that out right. Am I right, Dan?
1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8.
Yep, you're going to take 9 now. And then
9, and then you come back with 10.
One. Yep. Well, I get 2 more, then you get 1.
Yep.
Man, Vince McMahon would be screaming into your headset right now. Talk! Tell them what's going on with Diego!
I'm trying to think of somebody else because my brain is so Ring of Honor right now. Mm. It's hard. I'm trying to be diverse. I'm trying to think of like other rosters and other places and other people that.
Well, I think it's telling we haven't picked any TNA guys yet. I mean, are they that bereft of talent? I mean, Eddie and Davey are there.
Oh, I know who I'll take. I'm going to take because he counts. I'm going to take Carl Anderson.
Okay. That's a good one.
Okay.
Not Ken Anderson.
No, Carl Anderson. Okay. Who is freaking awesome.
Yeah.
Okay. Go ahead.
All right. My last two picks, Garrett Bischoff. No.
Yeah.
I wanted to look at the NXT roster, but I'm not sure. I think I got the one guy I mainly wanted was Zane. And I got him. I like Tyson Kidd. But. All right. I'm going to feel like I have to take at least one TNA guy. So I'm going to take, I think, the consensus pick there is Magnus.
Okay.
I like him. And I'm going to do the Scott Criscoll. I've seen a lot of his matches when I've, like, seen one of them. And I'm going to take, for my last pick, a veteran that can help put on great TV matches, can help prepare my young guys, knows how to work, face, heel, connects with the crowd, and had, to me, one of his best years in probably the last 20 years this year, and that's Goldust, Dustin Rhodes.
Very good pick. That was one thing that was kind of lacking from your roster.
The veteran presence.
Yeah.
I think that's what I think him and Orton bring.
Yep. So my last pick, I'm going to go with Adam Page.
Yes, I was looking at him too. That's a good one.
I think he is, he's just the perfect fan favorite. And he's just such a nice, young, likable guy.
Mm-hmm.
And I've got some nasty heels and some bad people and I've got, you know, some good guys as well. So there you go. I like my team.
All right. Who's your commentary team? You can't pick yourself. And I'm not going to pick you either.
Jim Ross and Paul Heyman.
Ooh, Heyman, that's a good one. Son of a bitch.
although JR would hate me for that.
If you could promise me vintage JBL, I would take him probably. But I can't be guaranteed it. Oh, man. All right. I'm going way outside the box. I'm taking a very unique pairing because I think either guy could work color or play-by-play and be an mm-hmm. awesome team. And that is Steve Corino mm-hmm. and William Regal.
Ooh.
Because I think Regal's fantastic on NXT, and I think both guy has the knowledge enough to be play-by-play and the entertainment value to be a color guy. So I think they could fill both roles together, and I think they'd be fantastic. I think that they'd be really funny together, and I think they'd be very insightful together.
It would be very, very good. That's an awesome team.
And think of all the years of stories and experience they have together.
Mm-hmm.
All the various, you know, Europe, Japan, ECW, WCW, WWF, E. They've seen it all, those two guys.
Just the look on the face of Regal when he's standing next to Corino for the on-cameras would be priceless.
With McGinn fapping behind him, so... all right, so your roster, you have a John Cena, Adam Cole, Michael Bennett, Seth Rollins, Triple H, Cedric Alexander, Bobby Fish, Kyle O'Reilly, Carl Anderson, Adam Page, and your announced team of Jim Ross and Paul Heyman.
Yep.
The winners team, myself, is Daniel Bryan, Cesaro, Roman Reigns, Dean Ambrose, Brock Lesnar, Sami Zayn, Randy Orton, Sheamus, Magnus, Goldust, and then Steve Corino and William Regal as my announced team.
Your family, it was Sheamus for you choosing that team. I don't know. No, I don't know I don't know about some of those picks.
Which ones besides Sheamus? Sheamus is like my media go-to guy.
Randy Orton is, I question his character.
Yeah, but he hasn't had a problem in a long time, though.
I know. I guess not.
And he's the guy. I mean, you're saying I lacked veterans. Like, he's a guy you'd throw out there.
That's true.
Could do it all. I think I have a very versatile roster. I have, like, guys that can work face, heel. They're all pretty good in the ring. Like, I don't think I have any liabilities in the ring at all.
You do have a very... who's going to work with Brock? Sami Zayn.
There you go. Brock beats the shit out of Zayn. Zayn steals a win. I think Cesaro Brock could be good. Reigns Brock. I got guys to work with Brock. Did you think about taking The Rock at all?
I did. His name crossed my mind. Just for star power. Mm. But I don't need it. I got John Cena. I got John Cena and Triple H.
That's it. I mean, yeah, it's balanced. So why don't you guys hit us up on Twitter or Facebook, and or maybe our buddy Brad can put a poll up in the post on PlaySmanation.com whose roster is better.
And I apologize because I know my roster is heavily skewed ROH, but you have to understand, I'm thinking Ring of Honor 24/7 now.
I don't think you're that skewed, though. I mean, you are, but it's not guys. Like, I don't think you reached for anyone.
It's John Cena, Triple H, and Ring of Honor.
Yeah, but you got all good Ring of Honor. No, you got Seth Rollins, too.
I didn't pick Elgin because... if I would have had one more pick, because I was looking at it, and I was like, wait, I've got power. I've got power. Oh, I want Carl because I think he's untapped. And I think, but Elgin would definitely be my power guy.
You took Ring of Honor guys, but you took Ring of Honor guys that are like basically kind of WWE guys. Like Adam Cole, he could go and be fine.
Yeah.
Michael Bennett could go and be fine. Bobby Fish could probably go and be fine. So I don't. It's not like you took straight indie guys. You know what I mean?
Right.
Like Adam Page is your project.
He's the project, and that's the reason why you pick somebody like him.
Right.
Absolutely. And there's other guys too. But I love what you did with Cesaro. I toyed with him as the number one pick. I think Roman Reigns and Dean Ambrose are awesome and incredible. Of course, Brock is that enigma, that star. That really just stands out, you know, and I thought about Matt Hardy as well. And I thought about Jeff Hardy and I thought about the Briscoes, but we were making individual picks and not tag teams.
Mm-hmm.
So that was, you know, cause the Briscoes are just special. I got to build for 5 years down the road. That's why I need Cedric. So that's why I need Adam Page.
All right, let's do this. Let's have everyone vote, and maybe a few episodes from now, not next one, but we'll do another 10 picks to continue to build the rosters.
Okay, good.
Cool.
Awesome.
All right, a couple things of business before we let everyone go. So
business,
baby. So picks update. You went 6-2 for Extreme Rules. Not bad for someone that does not watch the product at all.
Yeah.
You missed out on El Torito winning the WLC match, which was an awesome match. I don't know if you've seen it at all. And I'm not being facetious in any way. It was fantastic.
Right.
And
I heard it was very funny.
And you picked Evolution to be the Shield, so you were wrong there.
Hmm. I'm surprised. So the Shield won.
The Shield won.
Who was up? Who was on top though at the end of Raw?
Evolution, right?
There you go.
But we'll see. They're fighting again now on payback. So, also, Kevin, I quickly want your prediction. It looks like NBC is the winner in the rights contest. They're at the. They have their upfront tomorrow in New York City. Doty is going to be there. So, like we said on our last episode, they're probably staying put. Any guess on the money they're going to get? Now, MLS just cashed in big time. They did huge money.
What's huge money for MLS? Because 50 cents for soccer is a lot. I watched my kid play tonight. He's in the U8 team. 50 cents is about all I go with soccer.
I want to say it was in the... I'm trying to find the exact thing. I thought it was about between 70 and 90 million, somewhere around there.
That's it?
That's big for MLS. We're not even talking... let's see here. All right, the deal will run from 2015 to 2022. It will bring in a total of $720 million over the 8 years.
Oh, there you go.
$75 million a year, and Univision will pay $15 million a year.
Okay, so it is a $700 million plus contract.
Over 8 years, yes.
Over
so,
8 years.
75 a year.
I would say that WWE, my prediction is it's 7 years... $1 billion.
No.
Yeah.
No way. See, the big thing with soccer, though, their viewers are highly coveted because they spend a lot of money on their shit.
But the audience, the total audience is very small.
Right, but the advertising is where it's at, right? So if you're paying the rights, the TV network's getting all the ad money. So they want a company, they want a product that's going to bring in big advertisers. Wrestling doesn't seem to draw that. That's your only downfall, is the lack of advertisers, and because they're all cheap little guys living in their mom's basement now. But they're all people that don't spend a lot of money on products, wrestling fans, apparently.
I'm going to stick with my pick of $1 billion.
I think you're way high.
Okay, but you don't think, all right, over or under what soccer got?
I want to say over because I want to believe. I'm going to say under.
Wow.
I think they do under what MLS got.
I don't see that at all, but I would be surprised. It would show me that I know less than I think I know.
Mm.
I think I know that WWE's audience is coveted.
I think 1 billion is crazy high.
I think 700 million for soccer is crazy high.
Yeah, but I think it has to do with demographics and advertising. Let me ask you this. Is SmackDown going to move to Tuesday Live? Because that was the rumor that NBC wanted.
For $1 billion, yes. I think it will.
Do you think it's a good move?
Oh, sure.
Like, why live not at this point?
Live TV is always better than taped.
And you're taping it anyway.
The reason that SmackDown was taped was because it aired on UPN.
Right. It would have to move off Sci-Fi. Like, we're talking, it either goes to USA or the one I saw was maybe NBC Sportsnet live on air on Tuesday nights. So that makes sense to me.
Yeah, NBC Sportsnet, no doubt about it.
Tuesday Night Live. I mean, that's the way they should probably do it. So,
yep.
All right. Quickly, the WWE Network pick of the week, Kevin. I think I have a good one. It's going to fall right in line with your Ring of Honor show this weekend.
Ooh.
We're going to go to Starrcade 95 when WCW New Japan had their showdown series. We had Jushin Liger and Chris Benoit, Koji Kanemoto and Alex Wright, Lex Luger and Masa Chono, Johnny B. Badd and Masa Saito, Shinjiro Otani and Eddie Guerrero.
That match with Otani and Eddie Guerrero, holy crap. Awesome.
Randy Savage and Tenzan, Sting and Kensuke Sasaki. And of course, then you had all the title kerfluffles in there. That's my word of the night. Ric Flair, Luger, and Sting in the three-way, and then Flair Savage. So I thought that was fitting since New Japan, Ring of Honor going at it here, almost 20 years later. We go back to Starrcade 95. For the original invasion of New Japan.
And the stat of the week that you heard from Steve Corino was that Wrestling career of Jushin Thunder Liger began in 1989, the same year that Adam Cole was born.
Same. And they fight
and they wrestle each other this Saturday.
All right, take us home, will you?
If you think you're beaten, you are. If you think you dare not, you don't. If you like to win but think you can't, it's almost a cinch you won't. If you think you've lost, if you think you'll lose, you've lost. For out in the world we find success being with a fellow's will. It's all in the state of mind. If you think you're outclassed, you are. You've got to think high to rise. You've got to be sure of yourself before you can ever win a prize. Life's battles don't always go to the stronger, faster man. But sooner or late, the man who wins is the one who thinks he can. That's a poem by Walter D. Wintle that both my wife and I had to memorize when we were in middle school. And my wife this week via Facebook reached out to the teacher that we both had. We were 2 years apart in school. So Mrs. Lynch was, and she has to be, we estimated she has to be well into her 80s. She was a shot putter in the 1956 or 1952 Olympics, the ones that were held in Melbourne. So what a life. And she inspired my wife, myself, and many, many more. So I wanted to share that poem that that Mrs. Lynch had us all memorize because it fits in with the theme of the show. I do want to say thank you to Diamond Dallas Page for joining us here and for the inspirational work that he continues to do. You can go over to ddpyoga.com and you can check him out and follow him at ddpyoga on Twitter. And then you'll have yourself a lifelong experience. I think I'm going to check this thing out. I'll talk with you offline about this. I got to get something going. We'll talk more about it in 2 weeks. In 2 weeks, our guest is going to be none other than the play-by-play voice of the Boston Celtics, Sean Grandy, who not only knows his basketball and all his sports, but he's an awesome wrestling fan and a great guy. And he's going to join us next the next episode, and we're going to talk about wrestling. We're going to talk about sports. We'll probably badmouth some people and have some fun. But Sean Grandy is the man, and he's going to join us in 2 weeks here on The Kevin Kelly Show. For Dan McGinn and his overall lack of effort, for Justin Rosero, who came through and got a call from DDP, thank you guys very much. I want to say thank you to all of you for listening. This has been The Kevin Kelly Show on the Place to Be Nation.
I thought that poem was a Yeats.
Walter D. Wintle.
He's got AIDS. I think he should be ashamed of himself.